B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Missinelli Show on a Thursday where it's really nasty out. If you're in the rain, I don't know if it's let up now. I was in torrential rain, so be careful out there because everything is flooding and all this kind of stuff. If you're listening to the show, be careful. If you get if you want to check in with us today on the phone lines from the car, if you're at home watching on NBC Sports Philly, we got no problems because here's the deal: it's Dallas week, and it's been under the cloud of Ben Simmons for most of the week. But, the other side of it is, are we really invested anymore in it, like this year? I know we're invested in general, but this year, are we invested really in a true Dallas week game? I'm not feeling it. Maybe it's because the Phillies have diverted our attention. The Ben Simmons thing's diverted our attention. The game's on Monday night. And the team is, we don't know what they are. After winning one game, losing the next game, here comes Dallas. I think most people think that Dallas is the kingpin of the division. But we haven't had the rabid reaction or the interest in this game so far. So, Tyrone, what's your theory on that?
It could be a couple of things. It could be everything just related to this season. And people don't believe in the Eagles after it was deflating. They were excited after week one. They got deflated, and now they're worried about Dallas and all their Dallas. Because everybody in Philadelphia knows a Dallas fan, unfortunately, because they're everywhere, even though they shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't even exist in Philadelphia, but that's neither here nor there. So it could be that. The other theory I have is the younger fan. Dallas hasn't been relevant for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going back. You can be close to 30 and don't ever really remember Dallas actually being a real contender. So I do wonder, if you're a younger fan, do you have that same Dallas hate because they haven't been relevant really during the bulk of your sports watching experience?
Mm, yep.
The Giants have been. The Giants have won two that pretty much every fan remembers, two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Washington hasn't really been that viable either. I do wonder if you grew up during like the Andy Reid era forward, do you even care about Dallas because you didn't grow up with the hate? So it's to me, it's one of those two things. I don't know which one is which, but something's off right now.
Yeah, I always thought that if we got, this has always been my stance on the Dallas Cowboys. First of all, they hadn't been viable for a really long time. So I kind of dismiss them as a franchise because I think that's more effective to Dallas fans than really paying attention to them, because I think you play into their hands when you get obsessed with playing the Dallas Cowboys. So I just go, I give them one of these, ha ha ha, and I just kind of brush them off. So that's the way I've usually handled it. But like this year is different because, if the Eagles were one of these teams that we thought really had a chance to do something, I think we would be totally invested, because the fact is, you have to beat Dallas to win a division. And if you beat Dallas to win a division, you're kind of in the playoffs. And like if you were a really good team and you topped Dallas, then we're talking about a playoff contender and all that. But all that stuff is kind of lacking so far, at least right now. And probably when you look at the schedule, if they come out of this at 1-5, which is possible, or 1-4, the starch has been taken out of them. But there's definitely the starch taken out so far of this Dallas week. I'm trying to rekindle it. this week. So any way you want to rekindle it, I'm on board with it.
Now, I will say that while I don't respect Dallas, I also, because they're invaders, I don't pity those fans. Like, I pity Mets fans to a point. Like, I feel bad for Mets fans. We talked about it. They go through a lot of tough things.
Yep.
And many Mets fans in this area are generally authentic. There's no authentic Dallas fans in this area. So I don't really hate the team so much because they're not relevant. But I do despise, and I mean it, I hate local Dallas fans still with all of my being. Yeah. I dismiss, oh, yeah, the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys, America's team? That I could easily dismiss. I do hate the people. The people that still choose in 2021 to live here and root for that team and wear that star, I hate your guts, flat out. And I'm not, there are relatives I don't speak to because they're Dallas fans. And people go, oh, life's too short. No, life's too long.
Yeah.
Every day that goes by, they still exist, and I don't like it.
They do exist, but I don't pay attention to most of them.
I hate them.
Like, I go, yeah, all right, whatever. Haha. You know, like, I think you give them more power if you pay attention to them.
Well, I'm not. It's like one of these things where it's not active.
Well, they're totally idiots.
Yeah, it's passive.
But as long as you've got that about you, like, if I look at people that are idiots and I go, well, you're an idiot. So if I pay attention to you, I lower myself. Right?
Yeah.
That's the way I usually look at it. But, like, you know, there's always the story of how they got to be a Dallas Cowboy fan. None of them are valid. Not a one is valid.
None.
So, you Cowboy fans right now that are amongst us, you probably have the edge. All right? I'll give you at least that. You have the edge for this season to win a division more than the Eagles would have to win a division. But that doesn't mean you will win a division because ultimately, you're still a Cowboys, and something usually goes wrong.
Right, and this is a monster game. Whether you think they can or can't win or will or won't win is different.
Mm-hmm.
If the Eagles were to able to go in on Monday night and beat Dallas, the whole division changes.
Yeah.
It just does. It's a monster game if the Eagles can pull it off, because now you already got the one win, which makes it possible to get the sweep because you do get the next one at home, and it means you're going to be in the mix in that division. Just like had they beat the 49ers, didn't happen, and got to 2-0, it almost guaranteed they were going to be in the mix. Well, same thing happens. If they beat Dallas on Monday, they're going to be in the mix in the division pretty much all year. It's like it'll be hard for any of those teams to run and hide away from them if they can get this victory.
Exactly.
If they can get it.
All right, so yesterday we were consumed by Ben Simmons. If you got any leftover things you want to say about him, that's fine. The whole thing is so preposterous. I'm trying to think of another, like the Tio thing is preposterous, but in a way it was fun. Like, this ain't no bit of fun at all. This only solicits bad reaction from anybody who follows the Sixers. It's out of control, frankly, is what it is. And we're going to be fighting this battle for a long time. It's an acid drip for fans. For us, you know, we can play with it for a really long time on Sports Talk Radio. But the whole thing is absurd. It's theater of the absurd. I've never been close to anything like this with a player who, in this day and age, can't realize that he is responsible for what has happened.
In this day and age.
Yeah, he's responsible. And no one else is. He is responsible. And he doesn't know it. Or he doesn't care that he's not responsible. And that kind of thing galls me when it comes to human behavior in general, much less a Sixer player.
Now, you've been around this sports thing for a long time, Mike.
Yeah.
Different sports, hockey at the start, going all the way forward to the present time. Have you ever been around another athlete in your time, local, whatever, even a road athlete, who was this disconnected from reality?
No. Nope.
Never.
No, well, T.O. was insane. So, T.O. had a couple wires that weren't connected.
Now, there are people that know Ben that think that his personality, because I don't know him, that his personality is a little crazy. Like, he's a bit disconnected in a way, and that's why he doesn't really show emotion. Maybe he has a different form of T.O.-itis.
Well, he's a pod. as opposed to T.O., who was the antipod. T.O. was just wildly crazy fireworks nuts.
Right, still to
Ben Simmons is icy pod-esque. But at the end of the day, he's still a human being who somebody should have counseled to say, hey, listen, bro, you know, still think you guys are going to look at yourself. You know? Like, how many times have we heard that from people in our lifetimes where we mess up due to something and we have this different perception of what we did and people get bring us back down to reality with stone logic and they go, hey, this man, I got to be honest with you, I'm looking at this from the outside. You might want to look within. You know?
Yeah, no.
Like, what? Not one person in his life has ever done that to the guy?
It's funny you say that. Lil Birdie told me before the show, started on social media, working offline now, that there is a chance that Clutch Sports is not necessarily on board with what Ben Simmons is doing, but they're just trying to now make their client happy.
Well, that would make sense.
That perhaps Clutch Sports does think that Ben is at least partially at fault and thinks that this approach is the inappropriate approach. But at the end of the day, they work for Ben. Mm-hmm. And it's not them just trying to orchestrate him out of town. It's Ben kicking, screaming, pouting, et cetera, to get out of town and them trying to do what's best for their client because their client mm-hmm. has now decided that this is the circle of hell to be in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's possible. But at the end of the day, they had bad management because they brought Maxie into it.
Right.
Which was like totally foolish. So, mm-hmm. yeah, listen, am I oblivious to the fact they get max contract percentage from Ben Simmons? No. Bye. So I get it. You should stick by your client. But somewhere along the line, this narrative that everybody's writing that it's not his fault is just galling to me, and it's galling to everybody who hears it. So we'll talk about it. And finally, NBC Sports Philadelphia, trailblazing. They have hired Kate Scott to replace Mark Zumoff on the NBC Sixer broadcast. And she has been really making a lot of headlines for her trailblazing ability. First woman to call an NFL game on the radio. First to call college football for the Pac-12. She was a play-by-play voice for the first all-female NHL broadcast. She's covered soccer games, Golden State Warriors. She's been around. And she's a California girl. So she's coming here east to be the play-by-play voice in Philadelphia 76ers. So congratulations to Kate and NBC Sports Philly for going out there front.
That's not official yet.
Oh, it's not official.
NBC Sports Philly has not acknowledged it, neither has she.
Okay. Well, it looks like it's happening, though.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's not happening.
Yeah,
I'm saying
not official.
That it is not official.
Okay. So it's not official, but there's a story that was written by Rob Tourneau. In the Inquirer that says it's so we'll just
I believe there's a lot of smoke to it. I just since we're on NBC Sports Philadelphia, yes. I had to point out.
Okay, so if it's true,
yes,
congratulations.
Better get her a Sixers hoodie
to all parties.
Yes, that will be exciting. It's very very tough to replace a legend.
It is.
I'm just going to obviously have an open mind and wish her the best.
Mm-hmm.
I hope everyone does, because anyone that replaces a giant like Mark Zumoff is in an incredibly tough spot because he's the GOAT. So I just hope that everybody just gives her, or if for some reason something happens, whoever replaces him a chance, because it is hard to replace a legend.
It is, and the fact she's taking this job, she's willing to, or allegedly taking the job, she's willing to go out and face that.
And I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah. All right, 610-632-0975. This is the day where we're going to get a little fantasy football in at 4 o'clock with Eric Carabao. But at 3 o'clock, we're going to talk to Villanova's head football coach, Mark Ferrante. And it's going to be interesting because, obviously, Villanova plays Penn State this weekend. I'm interested in how this game was scheduled and the logistics of how you're supposed to prepare for a big monster Division I-A program like Penn State when you're Villanova. You know, this is the biggest game they probably will ever play as far as that the FBS, the FCS category going up against, they've played Division I teams before, but like this, a six-ranked team against Villanova is a really interesting dynamic, and we'll talk about that. All right, 610-632-0975. That's how you climb into the show. It's the Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's Twitter poll time on the Mike Missanelli Show. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for a new mower, a zero turn, maybe other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown has it all. It's order online at paulbmoyer.com. Jennifer Scordo with today's Twitter poll. Oh, Jennifer.
Is Dallas Week as big a deal for you now as it was in the past? Yes, still the same hate, or no, less enthusiasm? Right now, 69% say, yep, still the same hate.
All righty. Still the same hate. Now.
That means over 30% are saying, well, first off, nice. And then that means over 30%, though, are saying that it means less to them than it used to.
Yeah.
That's a nice chunk of people.
Yeah.
Early.
Yeah, it is. The Phillies last night won. And I didn't want to, you know, I had to mention them because it was a big home run by Andrew McCutchen that game. Although the Orioles came and tied the score. And then they had to win late, as they have been wont to do these days. But they do win. And The Braves win, however.
Yeah, that stinks.
Yeah.
So they lost the game in the series. They went 2-3, but they lost the game
because
the Braves swept. And now it's getting close to having to win out if they don't get some luck this weekend.
Yeah.
There's also a Braves game that's not finished, right? That got suspended?
There's a makeup game, yeah.
Yeah.
So did they just start that game again? Because they're losing that one, I think.
I'm not really sure what they're going to do with that. I think they have to make up the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Somebody asked me this question about the Phillies, because they have now, what, 225 home run hitters?
Yes.
And so somebody asked me the last time that had happened, when they had two outfielders that hit 25 or more home runs. You want to venture a guess at that?
It's not easy. No. I'll get it wrong.
You don't have a guess?
No.
Let's see.
I don't know the answer. I don't want to fake like I know the answer. I don't know the answer.
I'm going to guess. I'm going to say you have to go back to 2009.
That was the last time.
Well, I don't know. But in my head, I'm thinking in 2009, I'm thinking maybe Worth and Ibanez.
Okay.
Does that sound right to you?
That could be. I'm trying to think. Didn't Galvis. This is off.
Not an outfielder.
Oh, outfielder.
The question, two outfielders that had 25 or more home runs since they did it this year.
2009, that makes a lot of sense. And then I'm trying to think, was there a year later? Like,
I don't think anything later happened for outfielders. Marlon Byrd had a big home run year one year. But they weren't any good.
Right.
And so they wouldn't have had two. I'm thinking you have to go back to 2009. With Worth and Ibanez.
That makes a lot of sense.
All right. Well,
I have to look it up.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to look it up. It's,
I mean, that's what came to my head. Then you have to go way back, like, for outfielders. But I'm thinking, like, Ibanez had a monster home run year.
He did.
2009, right?
Yeah, he was,
and that's when Worth was coming into his own.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense, because Ibanez was way better than Burrow. From 08 to 09, Ibanez had a much better year.
Yes.
It didn't work out, obviously, at the very end.
It didn't happen with Burrow and anybody, I don't think.
No.
Because they were platooning, mostly.
Yeah, like, because in 08, remember, it was supposed to be Jeff Jenkins.
Yeah.
And then Worth took the
over,
job.
But he didn't have 25 home runs.
I don't think he played enough.
And Victorino hit some, but he didn't have, say, 25. He had 25. So anyway, that's off the beaten track.
I believe Booney, I think, looked it up.
Yeah, is that right?
That is correct.
Is that correct?
It is correct by you. And that year was two monster years.
Wow.
Ibanez had 34 and Worth had 36.
Wow, there you go.
And that's how he got paid. And then somehow we were booing him like he wasn't supposed to capitalize on that great year.
Yeah.
He did what he was supposed to do.
Yes,
he did what we'd all would have done.
Yep.
Somebody going to pay me how much?
Yep.
And all they got to do is move a couple hours away?
All right. Now, as long as we're speaking baseball here. And again, 610-620-975. I'm trying to heat up this Dallas Eagle week, and I'm getting nothing. I don't even feel it on the streets either. Maybe it's because it's a Monday night game. I don't know. It could be because it's a Monday night game. A circumstance happened in baseball. We always talk about what's appropriate here.
Yeah.
And you're anti-throw at people.
Generally, yes.
Okay. So Kevin Kiermaier of the Rays slides in. There's a play at the plate.
Yeah, I saw this.
He slides, and he's safe. And in the process, a scouting report of some sort, a hitter's card, comes out of the catcher's pocket. At the plate, in the dirt around the plate.
Uh-huh.
Kiermaier picks it up.
And then goes into
the dugout. Takes it into the dugout and gives it to somebody, whatever. Last night, they plunked his ass in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
Now, me, I raised a flag for that. That is so inappropriate. You cheating little bastard.
Now,
how do you take a scouting card? It's like the Astros cheating.
Right. Now, I've seen both sides of this. Now, the other side claims that you shouldn't have dropped it. And this is very new from people all of a sudden. They're basically saying if you're not cheating, you're not trying. No, I've seen this. I've seen this online. People talking about this.
Where do you get, like, a random piece of paper is that home plate. Why would you have any reason to pick that up?
Well, I
what are you stamping out littering on the ball on the field?
Yeah, and then somebody was saying that it was stealing because what happens if that catcher? Because you know guys wear chains. Let's say he had cash. Seriously, let's say he had dropped $100 bill. No, because it's something out of his pocket. They say the player obviously would not be able to pick up $100 bill or something. That's Social Security card.
It's a total violation.
So it's a violation to take it. But it's stealing signs. How's that different? Because that's stealing the card, and that card had how they were going to pitch to all the batters. Because obviously the catcher needs
so why are we even comparing like, the other thing? It's wrong on its face. And therefore, he should have got dusted. Now you're an anti-duster guy.
No. I'm anti-dust the guy for something he did within the game.
Is that dust worthy?
Yeah, he should have got hit.
All right, then.
We're on the same page. And if they play him next year, I'd hit him again.
Okay.
Right, for me.
So this is what I'm talking about. This is what makes baseball great. You police yourself.
No, but
the people that are anti-throw at somebody, there's a typical circumstance. How in the world can you be anti-throw at that guy?
But here's the difference. They hit the guy. They do the same thing if you hit a home run and don't go around the bases at the exact speed they like. Like the
problem is baseball's one note.
You guys don't have any plan B for punishment. It's just assault the guy
they
or
don't,
nothing.
No, they don't do that anymore. That's passe anymore. You can take however long. You can flip the bat. That's over. Blatant cheating. You take a piece of paper that doesn't belong to you at home plate.
I think that it was clearly wrong. But there are people out there that think that it's not wrong. To me, you took somebody else's stuff.
How is that not wrong?
Yeah, how do they say that it's not wrong?
Man, they're saying that people are being, I'm serious, this is out there on social media. Now again, social media is not real life. But there are a percentage of people on social media who are saying that Mike's your take, or like John Heyman's take, for example, you're being an old fuddy-duddy.
I'm not being an old fuddy-duddy.
I'm a messenger.
Wait, listen, hold on a second. What else could be done for a guy that takes somebody else's scouting report, pilfers it, and then gives it to his higher ups, his coaches and stuff? What else should be done?
I agree. Now, the other way that would have been appropriate, in my opinion, is that do-nothing fraudulent commissioner. If I see it, because it was on video. Everybody saw it. It's on video. Like, I saw the video. Like, it was blatant. Uh-huh. I would have stepped in personally if I'm the commissioner and I'm suspending the player for doing it. because you stole something, and I'm suspending the manager. So I'm going to cost you money,
okay,
and I'm going to cost you games.
That's a separate thing. Before I get to that, I got to take matters into my own hands here in baseball.
I'm saying you wouldn't have had a chance because I saw the video that night. The next day, you're not going to get a chance to hit him because him and the manager aren't playing and they're not getting paid because they cheated.
All right, well, if you want to do that, that's fine. But because there's not that,
well, then
that's why you got. So all these do-gooders who I've been hearing about all these years, well, you hit a man with a projectile and that's supposed to be, yes, yes. Because then the next time, if there's a scouting report near home plate, he won't pick it up.
Or he could
drill in the ribs.
I agree with you.
There you go. Fine, thank you.
But there is a fuddy-duddy. There are people out there that go, oh, it's no big deal. That's out there.
It's no big deal? What are you talking about? It's no big deal. How's it not a big deal?
To me, it's a very big deal. I would take it very seriously.
Okay.
I would be upset. And I think, and they also hit him safely. You hit a guy
Here's the thing. He got pissed about it.
Yeah,
dude who stole the scouting report got ticked off because he got drilled.
Yeah, that's not right.
That's the time where you take your medicine, you go ahead to first base and call it a day.
I normally like that guy, Kiermaier. I think he plays hard.
He does play hard. I mean,
on that play, man,
where he scored, he was running hard. He plays hard.
It's a punk move.
But you can't do that. And then you can't be upset. And he did. It wasn't in his head.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't at the wrist or something's going to hurt. He hit you. He was hitting a place where he knew it wasn't going to do damage.
I want to hear from somebody today who thought that, oh, my God, it's so barbaric to throw a Kevin Kiermaier. I want to hear from you today. I want you to argue your case on why Kiermaier should not have gotten thrown at. In that situation. Even Jen, the pacifist that she is.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Now, Booney's against it.
Of course he is.
Of course he's against it.
Of course. Wait,
yeah?
you think he would be for it?
Now, he says that's
barbaric.
That you should study your scout reports, pay attention in the meeting so you don't have to write it down. Because he had it written down for all the batters, and he says, why is it not a big deal to hit a guy with a 98-mile-per-hour fastball? That's what Booney, go ahead.
I don't have anything to say to him. I really don't. I have nothing to say to him. If he doesn't get that, then he's not going to get anything.
I think this is beyond hitting a home run or showing somebody
else. Of course it is.
This is more blatant.
It's blatant cheating. Let's go to Bob in Newark. Pay attention in your scouting meetings. What are you talking about? They play 162 games. How often do you think, it's like the NFL? You have position coaches? Let's go to Bob in Newark. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
How y'all doing today?
What's up, Bob?
Hey, I have a small list, but bear with me. And I want to know why they named the affliction the toughest word for me to say. But besides that, if I don't speak too fast, it's okay. The Ben Simmons thing, I sat through 12 years of losing, and I'd rather sit through 4 years and not paying that. Well, I can't say what I think he is. But, heck with him. I think Colangelo's son ruined this organization more by trading with Boston and getting Fultz, another mental midget. And we had sat there at three, we would have got Tatum. How much they have
money. They would not have gotten Tatum. Boston was going to take Tatum anyway. They just made the deal.
We would have ended up with Fultz when we wouldn't have gave stuff away. But I'd rather just not pay Simmons and a penny. Heck with him, shall we say. And the Dallas thing, I'm 65, and so I've hated Dallas. I agree with what Tyrone said. I hate Dallas. And from when I was a little boy, when I was young and pretty, now I'm just pretty. And, Texas is
the right universe.
Okay. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, buddy. Nice hearing from Bob. Bob is now becoming a regular caller from Newark.
Yeah.
I love
him. I don't know where Bob dropped out of the sky. But
welcome.
He's just pretty now.
That comment reminded me of the part 4 of the documentary was on last night. Yali.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
I got to catch up.
It's so good.
Ken Burns is good at what he does.
Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, the people they interviewed and the video and the audio that they had and the the thrill in Manila coverage and what those guys went through in that fight is just incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, what you were going to say.
Oh, I think I lost
it. What were you going to say? You lost? Really? I mean, you lose your thought?
No. Oh, the Ben Simmons thing with the money he mentioned. That's going to be very interesting because there's this thing out there where people say, no, you pay him, but you just fine him because it sends a bad message to other players around the league. I'm a person that says if he's set to get $16 million of his dollars on October 1st and camp starts September 28th and you don't show up, I'm not giving you nothing on October 1st. If you report, then I got to pay you because that's what we both agreed to. But if you don't show up, you're not getting $16 million on October 1st to sit home. Now, yes, you got money in the bank, but you also, I don't know him like that. There's always a chance because these guys spend a lot of money too. Maybe he needs the money. I hope not. I hope he's set for life. But if you need the money, that could be a mechanism to get what you want. I'm paying him nothing.
Let me ask you this. You think he said all this stuff not realizing that he had to show up to collect that money?
Well, there are people out there who think they're going to pay him anyway and just fine him. So he'll still get some money. And obviously, if you're fining him $2 million, he's about to get $16 million. Who cares if you take a couple million away after that because you get the compound interest? There's all these things where you want to get set up and paid like that versus every 2 weeks. These guys, all these accountant guys talk about the tax advantages. But if you don't show up on the 28th, 29th, or 30th, I'm not giving you a damn thing on October 1st. If I'm the team, if you come, then I got to pay you. But if you don't show up, but they say that could send a bad message to other players around the league. Would you care about that if you were in charge?
This is a very simple thing to me. It really is. He's already on board, on the record, saying he's not showing up. He would look ridiculous if he showed up.
Right.
Right, just to collect his money. I don't think he has that in him to do that. So I think that he didn't think this through. So at this point, I go, okay, that gives control back to the Sixers. There shouldn't be any worry at all on the Sixers' part.
Okay.
I'm sitting there going, this is as clear cut as it could be. We're going to be able to find him through camp. We're not going to pay him his salary for the season. And then it stays in limbo until somebody, his camp, our camp, somebody else's team's camp, gets desperate enough to want to put some wheels in motion to get him somewhere.
I agree with you. I just wanted you to respond to some of the people out there who have said, oh, well, if you do that, other teams will be sour.
Listen, I don't care about that part of it. I gotta manage this thing.
Right.
And the only way to manage this thing is sit tight. Like, they don't have any other option but to sit tight. They can't be thinking about other players speculatively who may rule out Philadelphia because of the Ben Simmons situation. Most players have laughed at Ben Simmons anyway for the foible of not being able to shoot a basketball.
Right.
So I think that most players are looking at it, that's not me. I shoot it. You know, that's it. That's his beef. It's not Philadelphia.
Yeah, so I just hope that and if he files a grievance, good. Like, my point is, if I'm in charge with the Sixers, if he doesn't show up, he's getting nothing.
What grievance is he going to file? On what grounds?
Because I guess there's a certain amount of time where they claim you can miss a certain amount and then still get paid or something.
All right, well, whatever. If that's the way it works and an arbitrator rules that you got to pay him X amount of dollars, it still doesn't change my viewpoint. Like, the only thing I can do, he doesn't want to play. He thinks that by doing that, he was going to be able to force a trade quickly with another team. And I go, no, sorry. You have dragged this organization through the mud. And we sat back and we've had to take it. But we can't take it to the extent where we lessen the quality of our team because of your shenanigans. I just sit there and go, oh, whatever.
You know, they play the first game against the Pelicans on the road, and then they come home and play the Nets on national TV. If they can just get off to a 2-0 start. like if they just get off to a 2-0 start, already look how foolish he looks. If I don't say they will. I'm saying if they beat the Pelicans, that's possible. If they were to beat the Nets at home without him, already nationally that Saturday morning, they're like, man, Ben Simmons better get his butt to work. Sixers don't even need him. I don't think he realizes how bad this could possibly get for him PR-wise if the Sixers just have a 2-0 start.
I look at Daryl Morey as a guy who has been around the NBA and know how things work. And I would love to be him. I really, because a lot of people go, oh, man, he's really under the gun. I go, how's he under the gun? They made his job easier. All he has to do is sit back and wait for somebody to get desperate. And then once they get desperate, yeah, and you try to weather the storm, like I said before, you're not going to be a terrible team. You still have Joel Embiid. You still have Tobias Harris. You still have some young guys that can put spark in your team. It's not like you're going to be the Washington Wizards. And so, therefore, if I go through the first 25 games and my record is 15-10, that's all right by me.
I'd sign for that right now.
Even if I'm closer to 500, it's all right by me because I know that things are going to change. And I know the playoffs are a long way away. And if I get the player I want, if I wait this whole thing out, come playoff time, people are going to be talking about my team.
You're right. 13-12 I'll sign for if it gets me what I want.
Exactly. So, like, Maury's got no stress. Well, like, why should, if you're Daryl Morey, why would you stress right now?
Oh, I would.
No stress. Why, like,
this is what some national people have talked about.
No, I didn't create the situation. He said he didn't want to be here. Now, I would have counseled my coach that he wouldn't have to grovel like he did yesterday.
Yeah.
All right, take a break. It's a quick break. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B75 The Fanatic.
All right, 246, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark Ferrante, Villanova head coach. They're playing Penn State Saturday at noon. I'll be there. I got to throw a heads up to people because this is a 12 o'clock game, so this means breakfast tailgating. And I know there are Penn State people that are listening out there. I've got the Villanova tailgate part covered for Westbrook. But I want to take him to some high-powered Penn State tailgates that are kind of near the stadium. You know, you folks that have those luxury parking spots and you park that big bus in there.
I've heard that Penn State can do it.
I want that kind of tailgate. So if anybody's out there and you do that every week at Penn State games and you're out there listening, please email me with your location. And I'll bring Brian Westbrook by.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Mike Miss at 975thefanatic.com. And I'll announce that periodically during the day because we have to get there. What do you think? Like at 10 o'clock?
I would think so.
A little champagne breakfast tailgate.
10 feels late.
10 does feel late.
Really?
Yeah, I think you got
9:30?
No, 9.
9?
Yeah, 8:39, yeah.
8:30.
Yeah, because people are going to want to also get to their seats, and it probably takes a while. So you want to be able to get 2 hours, full hours.
That's what I'm saying. It's got to be close to the stadium. Like, you can't go in a remote area.
Close but still, to the you stadium, got like, 100,000 you know, people in that joint.
Yeah.
I mean.
All right, you know.
I think 9.
All right, we'll get there at 9.
Yeah, I think 9 at the latest. I mean, for a 1 o'clock Eagles game, I would usually get there at, like, 8.
We got to go some places here.
Yeah, so you got to be able to cover. You got to get
to the Villanova side. You got to show the Penn State side.
And then you can't be rude if they know who you are. You have to linger.
True.
You can't be there for one drink. Hey, like, all right, guys, here's some of you. Let me take some of your food. Like, you got to talk to people.
Yeah, you can't eat and run, can you?
Yeah, you got to kind of, how you doing? You got to just, all right, guys, all right, I'm out. All right, on to the next one.
Okay. All right, let's go to Kevin in Canada. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Kevin? You called from Canada.
Yeah, I called a couple weeks ago.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I wanted to just touch on that Kevin Kiermaier incident.
Mm-hmm. They were playing the Blue Jays. I mean,
I'm from around Toronto, right? So I was watching the game. Mm-hmm. He deserved to get hit, but it's the wrong timing, right? Because Barucci's going to get suspended now. And We're like right there at the wild card.
It's all right.
They could have done this in April.
Doesn't matter. You can't delay justice.
Yeah.
You cannot delay justice. You can't worry about suspension.
Even
you got to get in or you'll forget about it. There'll never be a good time for it.
Even when you're on the cusp of the playoffs?
It loses its effectiveness if you do it next year. Who cares about next year? You got to do it now.
I agree with him getting hit. Don't get me wrong. I just was worried about the timing. That's all.
No, forget the timing.
No. But as far as I'm concerned, if I'm Kevin Kiermaier, I'd pick that piece of paper up too and scoop it.
You would. You would take a piece of paper. A random piece of paper that just lay in there. You would pick it up.
It wasn't random. And he knew exactly what it was.
Well, exactly. That's why you don't take it. You at least have the courtesy to say to the catcher, yo, Holmes, I think that belongs to you.
Oh, I'm a hockey guy, so I'm looking at it and going, okay, I see a piece of paper. It's about my team. I'm taking it, right? Because everything on that paper is about our team.
Don't take that.
No, okay, I didn't know. I wouldn't know any better, brother.
Well, you should know better. You're professional. Professional baseball players should know better than that.
Okay, well, I just thought it was kind of a... Okay, for instance, the quarterback. Come on, guys. Hey, come on. Sorry, I'm with my dogs. I just think if a quarterback has all his plays on his sleeve and he loses it and the other team picks it up, would that be okay?
No!
No?
It's stealing!
Okay, all right.
Come on, man. Right. Let's play the game the right way.
All right.
I don't believe what I'm hearing out there. Random piece of paper. What is it? Wrigley's chewing gum? It's something.
And it has nothing to do with being a professional. You're an adult.
Well,
don't steal.
I tried to tell y'all this is out there.
That's
weird.
There's
this sentiment out there that's like, it was no big deal. This is just the normal thing that you do to get a competitive advantage. That's out
competitive
there.
Advantage? Where's that a competitive advantage? You're stealing their preparation. It's like stealing somebody's playbook.
Yeah, I agree. But there are others who think, no big deal.
Come on.
Right, that guy from Canada.
He's not alone. It's not like he only thinks north of the border.
I'm stunned at this, frankly.
Me too.
I think it's ridiculous.
Especially Booney. He should know better. He's been watching baseball for forever. Oh, you should be memorizing the game plan. They don't do that anymore. Bryce Harper takes a card out for every batter.
Yes.
Come on, man.
Every guy. Right. They all have the card and they shift. And it's also more sophisticated than it used to be. How you're going to pitch the guy, where the infield lines up, where the outfield lines up, and then what pitches. It's like a bunch of stuff on that card for each batter.
Uh-huh.
They have different signals for it. And then they even shift sometimes now, depending on the count. Oh, if you get ahead on this guy, he's going to be jumping. So then you shift. Mm-hmm. They got a bunch of stuff now on these in these scouting reports that they didn't have in previous generations.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard to also remember that for a team you play.
I'm ashamed of people out there. I am. I'm ashamed of Booney. I'm ashamed of the social media people. I'm ashamed of our man in Canada for thinking that's all right.
You should be.
The quarterback's wristband fell off with all the plays. You're supposed to keep that?
No.
Steal it?
No.
No, but people would, and then there would be people to say, it's good.
Here's the thing. Baseball players, as you know, I've said this before, they're the rattiest bastards in pro sports.
You've been saying that for a long time.
They'll take a penny out of a dead man's eye. Right?
Oh, man.
Oh, my. Really? That's what they would do. But in this particular situation, where it's a blatant piece of paper on dirt, white piece of paper on dirt.
It was blatant. No, it was blatant. The video, it's blatant. Like, it's not like he got tangled up in my. No, he picked it up. They ran in there. It was like, hey, guys. It was blatant.
All right, let's take a break. 610-632-0975. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. We'll talk to Mark Ferrante, the Villanova Wildcats, in a monster game. They're good, Villanova. They're 3-0. They're getting Penn State in the best possible spot possible. What can they do with it? We'll talk to the head coach after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 3 o'clock hour, Mike Pisanelli Show. 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Corkley's Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit is good. Well, Saturday, a big football game. If you're a fan of the Villanova football program, as they go to Happy Valley, take on the big bad Penn State Nittany Lions, now ranked 6th in the nation. It's a tall order for an FCS team to go up to Happy Valley. So let's see how they're going to approach it. And we are fortunate enough to have the head coach of Villanova Wildcats on the line with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Mark Ferrante joins us. Hello, Mark.
Mikey Miss, how you doing, man?
We're doing fantastic. Thank you so much. And this is really an interesting game that's going to happen for your program, I know. And so, like, the challenge of playing a Division I team or an FBS team, much less a team that's nationally ranked. Well, how are you feeling right now?
Well, obviously, excited. I don't want to say nervous because I don't think you ever go into a game nervous, but teams looking forward to the challenge. Definitely a big task at hand, but one that our team and our players are super excited for. So we're looking forward to getting up there, getting on the bus tomorrow, getting up in the hotel, and then kicking it off at 12:01 on Saturday.
What was the genesis of this game? How was this arranged?
Well, we're always trying to, at our level, you know, majority of the teams in our league, the CAA, are looking to get these guaranteed games. You know, obviously there's a financial reward to it and so on. And, you know, these games are scheduled years and years in advance. And there's a gentleman by the name of Dave Brown who helps people schedule games nationally. And Dean Kenefick, our information director and our football administrator, he's in touch with Dave all the time trying to get these games scheduled. So I believe it was around 2018, which is my second year as the head coach, Dave said that Penn State had an opening in 2021, but traditionally Penn State doesn't play the 1AA/FCS opponents. And then Dave said to Dean, if your coach knows Coach Franklin at all, why don't you guys give him a call and have a conversation? So we go up there quite a bit. James and I have known each other for a long time. And when I went up there at the Pennsylvania State coaches clinic that year, we had some guys, some of our staff speaking at that. We go up just about every year. James and I had a conversation. Whether that conversation went from James to the athletic director and the administration up there, I don't know for sure, but that's kind of how it got started. They had an opening. James and I communicated about it, and next thing you know, we were on the schedule.
Mark, the logistics of this game, I don't think can be better for you. They're coming off a monster whiteout win where they're celebrating the heck out of that all week. They also have Indiana on deck where they lost them last year, and it's a revenge situation. I got to think you're in a pretty good mental spot to play Penn State.
Well, you know, people talk about those things all the time. Trap games, you know, sandwich games in between two big, huge games for them. I know James. I know his staff well. I know the history of Penn State football over time. That's a great storied program. I don't think they're going to look past anybody. But if they want to just forget that we're showing up, I'll be happy. I'll be happy to forget about the little Wildcats coming up there.
It's Mark Ferrante, head coach of Villanova's football team. And Mark, let's face it, they will probably have a physical advantage here. So how do you, in a game plan, how do you attack a team that is most likely physically superior?
Yeah, you know, the big thing is the number one, the depth. They'll have more guys with more size, as you said. When you look at their offense and defensive line, you know, we'll go against some 300-pounders, but they're kind of 300 pounds across the board, interior on defense. We'll play against some 240-pound linebackers, but not all of them, and so on. So, you know, we're just going to try to minimize our mistakes, go out there, execute at a consistent level, try to, reduce or minimize their possessions, try to hang on to the football, and, just play as clean a game as we possibly can, because they're going to rotate a lot more guys than we'll be able to rotate probably. And, that's usually where we get caught a little bit when we play these FBS opponents. They just have, as you said, not only do they have bigger guys across the board in more positions, but they have more of them in their depth chart as well. So we're going to go up there and do everything we can to, you know, compete and make it a game. And, you know, again, we got to minimize. We can't have turnovers and hopefully create some. We got to minimize our penalties and hopefully they have a few and so on, and then just take advantage of the opportunities when they present themselves.
Now, you have a great running back. Justin Covington is averaging 7 yards a carry this year. You guys are ranked 11th in FCS. I assume you would like to run the football against them, but you also I think you've had a pretty good balance this year with your offense.
Yeah, Dan Smith, our quarterback, is doing a great job distributing the football to a lot of different receivers, including our tight ends. Our running back group is good. We like our running back group. We feel that's probably where the majority of our depth is. We always like to have a balanced attack. Last week, we were a little pass heavy at the end because we were down, so we had to, you know, get the ball in the end zone quickly. But the first couple games, when we're able to, you know, control the ball and control the clock, we'll do that as well. So we're always pretty much balanced. But, you know, Covington is a great player. He's a sixth-year guy. He graduated. And, you know, he's a really good player for us, along with some of the backups we have in the backfield. So we're going to go in there and, you know, take what they're giving us and not be, you know, we're going to hopefully have patience. And, you know, our quarterback, Dan Smith, as I mentioned, does a great job. He's like having a coach out there reading the defense pre and post snap. So, you know, we just got to go out there and do what we can to hopefully move the football, get some first downs, and get the ball in the end zone.
Mark, how does Covington compare to Westbrook? And I know you were there in the staff of Andy Talley when you guys had Brian Westbrook. Are they comparable at all?
Yeah, different, though. Covington's bigger. Covington's about 223 pounds right now. Brian's more of that, you know, cut on a dime. Brian's better receiver coming out of the backfield. I mean, shoot, we lined up in the slot a lot to get those mismatches on linebackers and so on. So, and Brian, you know, start to finish is probably going to be faster. But Covington's powerful. He's got big legs, and, you know, he's a really good player for us. And he's been, as you said, over 7 yards of carry. So he's very productive, you know, but he's more of the power runner, run through arm tackles. Brian will do that, but also make you miss in space a little bit better than Cove as well. Brian could probably make that 90-degree cut and accelerate a little faster.
Well, we happen to have him on the line right now. He wanted to come on when the coach was on. So Brian Westbrook joins us. B. West.
Good afternoon, Mike. Good afternoon, Coach, man. I'm super excited about this weekend. We're coming up to the game, rooting on the Wildcats, and can't wait to see you guys perform on Saturday afternoon.
B. West, always good to talk to you, my friend, and obviously looking forward to seeing you up there on the sideline at Happy Valley. I guess you and Mikey Miss coming up together, or you're driving separate?
Well, you know what, Mikey Miss, he's going to talk my head off about Penn State, so I said I have to drive by myself just so I can have some fantasy.
He didn't want to drive up with me. But how is this going to be with me on the Villanova sidelines? How's this going to work here?
We're letting you over there, huh? I thought being a Penn State guy, you get one of them luxury suites up there.
Well, the suite, we have access to the suite, but Brian said to me, well, that's too high. So I think he wants to be on the sidelines. I like to be in the stands to watch it. And but, you know, listen, as long as we're there, you know, I want him to hear the roar. You know what I'm saying, Mark?
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. We were trying to make a little extra noise in our little stadium down here, but there's no way we're going to, what was it, 107.7 decibels? That sounds pretty loud to me last week, 109,000 plus fans in the stands. So,
wow.
Man, but that's 7:30 at night. We got that 12 o'clock. You know, maybe some of those students will still be sleeping from the Friday night. They won't be there.
Brian, is this guy going to break your record? Is Covington going to break Brian Westbrook's record?
Super running back, very athletic, big guy, coming off a knee injury similar to myself. I just appreciate what he's able to bring to the team. Now, hopefully he can break my record. I'm surprised that those records are still standing at this point. But you know what? If he can do it, I couldn't find a better guy, a guy that has faced adversity, that has overcome that adversity to be able to break the record. So hopefully he can do it. And, you know, if he does, then, you know, more power to him. But it's going to be tough to break. I'll tell you that right now, Mike. But if he can do it, this is the guy to be able to do it.
All right. Listen, Mark, best of luck to you. The way I read this, I think you're going to be in it. And I think there's going to be a moment of angst at Beaver Stadium.
Well, we're Mike and Miss. I appreciate you having me on, and we're super excited for the challenge. Our guys are looking forward to it, and you know, we had a couple good days of practice. So, like I said, we're going to come up there and compete our tail off, and you know, see what happens when we get into the fourth quarter.
All right, listen. Good luck to you.
Thanks very much, and Brian.
I guess we'll be on the air Friday, but I'll see you up there Friday.
Yeah, I'll see you up there Friday, and good luck, Coach. We're looking forward to it.
Appreciate it, B. West. We'll see you there.
All right, that's Mark Ferrante, the head football coach of the Villanova Wildcats, and of course, the great Brian Westbrook. So there you go. I think I hear a quiet halftime at Penn State.
Saturday. Yeah, I think that
Penn State will be up like 13-3 at halftime.
13-3.
Yes.
That defense is good.
Yeah.
But, you know, that running back is also an opportunity for him, even in a loss, to open up some eyes of the pro scouts.
Oh, it definitely is.
It's a big opportunity.
It is. But if you're the Penn State defensive coordinator, what are you doing?
Well, you can on him. Say, all right, well, if anybody else beats us, God bless you. But this kid, he's getting nothing. That's what I'm doing.
I pinch up.
I got my
safeties in a box.
I got nine in the box.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Got nine in the box.
Yeah, but the kid does throw, the Villanova quarterback.
Well.
So, it's a great thing for Villanova, their program, to play a game like this.
Yeah.
And there's no question in my mind, coming off at Auburn, they're going to take this team lightly. They think this is a practice week.
Yeah. And it'll be a test for Franklin to keep those guys engaged.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. Chris in Kutztown. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, not much. Hey, I really do appreciate the tickets from, we went to FanFest, man. It was awesome.
Fantastic. Glad you could come, Chris. Glad you had a good time.
It was a great time, and I just wanted to make a couple other points, too. You guys were gracious enough to mug for a couple pictures, so it's pretty cool. And I think it was all smiles. Everybody loved it. So I wanted to make a comment regarding the Ali documentary. And just a real quick story. When we were younger in 1973, 74, my dad took us up to Deer Lake. So we had the opportunity to see him train. We also had a phenomenal 5-minute experience just talking to the champ. And he.
Wow, that's amazing.
It was the coolest thing. You know, it's something I remember.
Yeah, Deer Lake is up by Kutztown, right?
Yeah. Not too far. It's you know, Deer Lake is about 20 minutes from that point. You know, bottom line, it's in the midst of nowhere. And Ali, I guess, purchased the camp.
Yeah, he bought the camp. Yep.
Yeah, in 72. And that was almost like his retreat. It was like a spiritual retreat. He had his mosque up there. The rocks were all painted up, you know, obviously by his dad, I guess, came up and painted Sonny Liston and some of the old-time fighters. And it was more than just. Yeah, it's almost like hallowed grounds. It really is.
Yeah.
It's that good. But bottom line, you know, he's driving up, and his daughter talked about it. He's driving up in like a Winnebago, and my dad is like standing there saying, there's a champ, go run up. So the first thing is 12-year-old kid, it's major excitement. The next thought is what if we run up and he blows me off type thing? And he literally walked out. And opened up his arms, mugged, you know, he was sparring with us. And we had 5 minutes of just us and Muhammad. It was the most amazing experience.
Man, he was like that. And this documentary points that out. He gave money to everybody who asked. And was gracious with everybody.
I literally almost had like a tear when they said, hey, don't give that guy money. He's a hustler. He's going to wheel in with no legs. He's going to ask you for money.
Yeah.
And the champ's response, as you know, he gives him money and says, we have legs.
Yeah, it's Angela Dundee. Angela, we have legs.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. But what I found to be pretty incredible, and I'm sure you guys can comment on this, I don't want to steal too much time, but I didn't understand the whole political aspect of things going on with the Nation of Islam, Malcolm X, MLK. I didn't know that there was all kinds of internal stuff where they weren't always happy with.
Spoiler.
Them. And
yeah, you can't spoil. That's in the documentary. People will get to see that.
It's incredible.
All right, brother. You got it. Thank you very much. Spoiler.
Well, it is. Like, some of this stuff people might know from reading it over the years, but this documentary's fresh. There are people who are DVRing this. It's the week of.
Yeah, I've followed closely. I was right in the heyday of Muhammad Ali, so I followed all that stuff. I was a Muhammad Ali fanatic.
Yeah.
And it's so, at the end, it's like what he did at the end of his career was really, really sad.
Yes.
And you felt so bad for the guy. Because he was such a part of the whole life of the 70s and 80s that when he kept fighting, and a lot of people said he did it for money reasons, whatever it was, the documentary really explains it. But I went back and I looked at, because at the Thrill of in Manila part of this documentary is so fascinating. And you will never, ever see an athletic endeavor that had that kind of dedication and physical exertion than in that fight. And it's almost hard to believe that those guys went toe-to-toe for and Frazier wanted to come out for the 15th round.
And they wouldn't let
him. They were, like, both of them were literally almost dead.
Mm-hmm. And that should have been the end for both of them.
Yes.
And forget the doc. I'm saying that should have been my fault. We watched all these fights. That should have been the end for both of them. Like, they shouldn't have been cleared by sanctioning bodies after that fight. That should have been the end.
Yes.
And both of them.
Yeah. But he was the champ. And people, like, you know, they fell into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the Larry Holmes thing should never happen.
There's a 30 for 30 on that particular fight.
Yeah, he needed money, and it just shouldn't have happened.
He took thyroid pills in the 30 for 30 they talked about to make himself look the same, but he wasn't really in shape. The mind was already starting to go.
Yeah.
And he's taking thyroid pills to look like Ali, but it was just a shell of Ali.
You know, he went 15 rounds. Like, it's almost unheard of to go 15 rounds when heavyweights are banging each other like that, right? He went 15 rounds. Let's see. How many times? 1, 2, 3. He went 15 with Shivalo, Ernie Terrell, Bonavena, Frazier, then Mac Foster, Joe Bugner. 14 with Frazier, which seemed like 25, mm-hmm. that fight to throw him out. Jimmy Young, Ken Norton, Evangelista.
And Norton, he had a broken jaw and still went to full 15
yes.
with the broken jaw.
Yes. Evangelista, Ernie Shavers, and twice with Spinks. All 15 round.
And you talking about some, in that mix, there's some hellacious, not everybody's going to know this.
Ernie Shavers slugged them.
So I'm saying hellacious hitters. And he's getting there doing that. And if you watch his fights, people, you can't emulate what he did. He actually did so many things fundamentally wrong, like pull straight back. That's how in Ali Frazier 1, he got caught by not, you're supposed to rotate left or right. Ali had this bad habit that he got away with because he was such a good athlete mm-hmm. of pulling straight back, which means you stay right in the range of the punch and you actually end up on the end of the punch. And that's what happened to him and Norton. But that happened both times.
But Chuck Wepner went 15.
Yeah. The Bayonne Bleeder.
The Bayonne Bleeder went 15. And so when I look at the record, I go, okay, he's had 5 losses. He should never have 5 losses. But the 5th loss is painful to me.
Yes.
The Trevor Burbick loss is just flat painful. All right, let's go back to the phones. Ian and Ridley. Ian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ian.
Hey, Mike, huge fan. Back to the great sports debate days.
Wow. Well, thank you for that memory. I have a great sports debate t-shirt that I preserved.
Wow, that's great.
You go into a time capsule.
I work with kids at a Boys and Girls Club, mm-hmm. and a lot of these kids, Ben Simmons is one of their favorite players, and they're asking me, why won't Ben play, and what's wrong with Ben, and all sorts of stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And the kids look up to the guy, and he's just letting them down.
Yeah, he doesn't care one whit about that.
Yeah,
that part of it.
He's self.
It's easy for you to explain, though. You got to explain. Listen, in professional athletics, sometimes the player is the one that can that has all the power, and for whatever reason, he was offended enough to the point where he doesn't want to play with them anymore.
Yeah.
Right or wrong, that's how you explain it objectively to him.
Yeah.
without burying Ben. You know what I'm saying?
It's hard not to bury Ben.
Yeah, I know. How old are these kids?
4th through 8th
grade. Yeah, like, you know, they'll learn eventually. You know, there's no reason to bury them, the kids. Just lay it out on what sports is.
Yeah.
All right?
All right, thanks.
All right, you got it, buddy. Yeah, you can't roast Ben in front of kids.
Nah.
Well, Stevie J would. He didn't care. Yes, you care. 8th grade? Yeah. I knew enough for 8th grade.
4th.
4th grade, I knew enough, too. Like 8-7.
Well, you know, Barry, you go, listen, this is the conflict. He doesn't want to play with them because he felt that they said some things that offended him. Objectively, maybe he didn't say things that offended them, but you have to make up your own mind with the conflict. But most of the people are against Ben and think Ben's wrong. That's how you say it, right, Jed?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
No, it's a kid.
Could have been a little softer on the
edge. You softened it up a little for the kids.
He hates Philadelphia. He's not really a competitor. Hopefully you grow up to be a lot tougher than him, son. All right, let's go ahead. Don't you got some homework to do? Let's get out. Go ahead and get out of my face. That's how it went down in my house.
Yeah, well.
That's okay for 8th grade.
He's 8th grade.
That's how it went down in your
house. Hey, he don't want to be here. He's not tough mentally. He's real soft. You know what? They'll be better off without him in the long run. Don't you worry about it. That's why you don't look up to these guys. You look up to people.
That's right. Don't make them your role models.
None
your
of these
teachers,
guys.
Your coaches, your parents are your role models.
Right.
That's
not,
what you tell them.
Not frauds like him.
Right.
And very rarely Australians, period.
You don't have to throw in the fraud part.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Yeah, you can.
Well, the Australians part. Not all Australians are bad.
Rarely Australians.
Come on, man.
How many Australian heroes are in America? How many?
Well, I mean, heroes.
You can't bury the whole continent.
I'm saying.
Got two Australians on the Eagles doing pretty well.
There you go, your boy.
Isn't he from New Zealand?
No, I think he's Aussie.
Well, you can look up
I
to
think
that
he's
also.
Aussie.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
he is.
And the punter.
And the punter's doing a hell
there
of a
you
job.
Go.
Yeah, see?
That's it.
Look up to those Australians.
Exactly. And Dante Exum.
No, I don't like him.
1062 here on 975.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Three 30, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, and it's time to update our Twitter poll. And it is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, Jennifer Squirt. Jen.
Is Dallas Week as big a deal for you now as it was in the past? Yes, still the same hate, or no, less enthusiasm? Yes is winning at 66%. 34% say no, so that ticked up a little bit.
All righty. Thank you very much. All right, let's go back to the phones and talk to the people. And go with Danku in Stratford. Danku, what's up?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm going to talk about Ben Simmons. I'm going to talk about the Philadelphia 76ers as a whole.
Yes, sir.
I was following the 76ers when Dr. J came to town,
mm-hmm.
and Maurice Cheeks was there. When Charles Barkley was there, they never had a problem when they swept the Knicks 4-0. I want you to know something. If I was in the 76ers playing and I signed a contract, Ben Simmons signed a contract with the 76ers, and I kind of agree with what that other young man said about he should be fined for whatever. He should be fined because you're actually going against whatever the contract says. He promised to play for a team, bring them to the playoffs, promised to do hard work, come to practice, sign autographs, whatever the deal is. Okay. My concern is whatever he was talked about or said things, put that on the side, put that on the back burner and do what you need to do for the team. Don't even worry about words. They're only rumors. They could be just
It's a lot different today. It's 2021, Denku, right? Contracts really don't mean what they used to mean as far as loyalty to a team. If you don't want to play for a certain team, you can force your way out of it, and that's what he's doing.
Well, why
but he's not getting paid. The thing is, if you don't perform the contract, you don't get paid. So, like, he doesn't have an edge here. He's going to get fined during camp, and then he won't get his salary. And that's why the Sixers, I think, are in a good spot to just wait it out.
That's what I'm saying. Why can't he just wait until his contract is up and then decide when if he becomes a free agent, then he could do it?
Because he doesn't want to be here. So he's forcing himself out. Why should he play somewhere where he doesn't want to be? The contract is one thing, but if you don't want to be somewhere, then you want to get out of that contract.
Well, you know what? From what he's showing on the court, it's a whole different ballgame.
But he's not thinking that. He's thinking that he's done nothing wrong. You're missing the mindset of today's player.
Well, I know
it's not like back in the day.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So, like, you know, the contract, listen, a contract is nice, right? It doesn't, like, brand you to an organization. How many times has this happened where guys are under contract for a certain team? They don't want to play anymore. They want to move on. They want to get traded. They cause a trade. It's their personal freedoms on where they want to go. Now, as it impacts the 76ers, they can't do anything about it. There's nothing to do. The player ultimately has control of his own situation, whether you think it's right or wrong.
He rarely does it happen with 4 years left on a max.
No, it doesn't.
This is different.
But like, you can't hold a guy to a contract either if he's not going to perform it.
No,
he can't do anything to make him perform it.
Yeah, he can sit at home for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah, they can't make him play.
But they know they can't play that game either. That eventually they're going to have to get value for this asset that's out there.
Eventually.
Yes.
But not yet.
But not now. There's no, like, I'm whistling a tune.
Oh, also,
in a rocking chair, if I'm Maury.
This also shows you how full of, I gotta watch my mouth. I got great information now that confirmed that so remember when he did the whole I'll play for all the 29 other teams?
Yes.
Remember he said that?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a liar because he's been kicking and screaming and whining about Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because and that president, I also know, got let go yesterday.
Rosas.
He got let go because of his inability to land Ben Simmons.
Oh, really?
Because he took everybody off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And the new owners, A-Rod, were like, are you crazy? This is Minnesota. We don't ever make the playoffs. So for them, it's not just about a title. They're trying to just be relevant in the West.
So they want him.
Yes.
This new ownership wants him.
They absolutely do.
A-Rod, he doesn't want them.
He doesn't want them. And apparently Clutch is even saying to him, hey, dog, you said you wanted out.
Uh-huh.
There's a path out. We got to work out the details because the Sixers aren't just going to take nothing back.
Mm-hmm.
But your path out is this. You can go there with Towns, and perhaps you can go out there and carry a team to the playoffs, and the Sixers can actually get something back in a three-team deal, and we'll figure it out. But apparently he's been whining also about Minnesota. So it's like, oh, I'll play anywhere. Okay, we'll send you to Minnesota. Oh, not anywhere.
Okay, so, like, is it any different than what we've been saying about his lack of self-awareness? Like, he actually believes that he's Ben Simmons and he can actually pick a spot on the planet that he wants to play for.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes, and even his management's like, hold on. Apparently they have told him, like, we love you, Ben, we think you're the future, but he's not as accomplished as even Anthony Davis pre-title. He's not as accomplished as Harden, as Kyrie, as all the recent guys that forced their way out. He's less accomplished than all of those players. And he's been apparently made aware of that. And yet still, he believes that he should almost be able to pick his spot.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sixers obviously are saying, hell no. But now, with the Minnesota guy out, I believe that he may not, maybe he ends up with a third team.
Right.
But I think that there's some smoke. I know there's smoke there. Like, I'm 100% sure there's smoke there.
Well, that's what I say. I go, huh? Oh, what's up today, Daryl? I'm just hanging out here. I'm having a little coffee. I got a smile on my face.
Yeah, the workouts look good. Tobias is in great shape, and D's in shape, Thibault, Max, they all look great.
Yeah, my phone is active. And so if someone wants to call, I'm good. I'm here.
Oh, you mentioned some news at the top of the show?
Yes.
It is now official.
Now official.
Yes.
Kate Scott will be the play-by-play announcer for the 76ers on NBC Sports Philadelphia, stepping into the shoes, the very big shoes of one Mark Zumoff. So do we know anything about the color analyst?
Still
Ala. Do we know that Ala will still be?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ala's contract was up.
Okay.
Again, Mark Zumoff retired.
Mm-hmm.
The GOAT, obviously we love him. He's been on the show. We love him. And now it's
Kate Scott. So first female broadcaster of any major sport in Philadelphia television history.
Yes.
Awesome.
Very excited about it. And I just, people out there are saying stupid things.
Really stupid.
Well, there's going to be a level of ignorance that comes out about this.
We have to be better. And I'm saying this. Both selfishly and unselfishly. One, we should give everybody a chance. She hasn't even called a single game yet. To have anything to say about it until you hear her do a Sixers game is plain stupid. The second part, selfishly, is as a black person, like, because some people that are saying something stupid are black people, how many times are we still having first? And if you're not going to celebrate somebody else's first, then you can't then expect someone to celebrate your first. So I'm absolutely excited that it's a woman. And I believe that she has the resume, because if you check, she has a good resume.
Yes.
I believe she's going to do a good job. And I'm going to celebrate the first, just like I would hope if I accomplished something, someone else would want to celebrate my first. So to me, it's a no-brainer. It's stupid what some people are saying out there, but it's out there. I don't know why it's out there, but it is.
All right. She's a West Coast gal, and she has called NFL games, college football, basketball games, soccer games during the Copa America. She was part of an all-female broadcast Golden State Warriors game. She also was a morning host, a radio host, on 97.5 The Game in San Francisco. Is that the station for our old program director?
I believe it is. I don't think they necessarily, because what year did she do it? Did they overlap?
Until last month.
Oh, then yeah. You probably text them.
Yeah, I should.
You probably text them.
Yeah. All right, let's go Steve in Alden. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve. Yo, Steve. Steve's not there? Okay. Let's get John in Abington here. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
What's up, Michael?
Hello, John.
You know, here's the thing. You know, this is the thing. Ben Simmons, whether you trade him or whatever, he's not going to change. So if he goes to another team, he's not going to make shots. He's not going to be able to develop something that we want him to do here. So we've been asking him for 5 years, even when Brett Brown drafted him.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care what he doesn't do from this point on. Why should I care about that?
Well, because we're going to trade him. So who's going to want him?
Well, you're missing the point. There are people that think they can change him. There's always people out there that think that they can polish the stone and into a diamond. He's got that kind of ability.
So then why hasn't a trade been made?
Well, because people aren't desperate enough to make the trade yet. They will be, trust me.
What do you mean desperate?
I'm talking about when they see their team, and they see their team is not very viable or as viable as they thought. There's a guy out there who could be a superstar player, and then people start to get itchy.
Nah, ain't gonna happen.
Oh, okay, all right. Well,
he ain't gonna make
I'm glad you know. I'm glad you know. Thank you.
No, I don't know.
Okay, well then don't say nah, because I'm telling you the way it works, the way the Sixers are working it right now is that they're waiting for some team to be enticed by adding Ben Simmons to their team.
Who?
Listen, dude. Thanks for calling. Let's go, Steve, on a cell. All right, let's take a break. So, it's a quick break. 610-622-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7:45, Mike Misnelli Show. The Fanatic Deal of the Week this week. Check it out. Two tickets to the Bates Motel and Haunted Attraction for just $50. You'll experience terror like never before. It's the number one haunted attraction in America. Check it out right now at 97.5thefanatic.com. The keyword is deal. Okay, so at 4 o'clock, we're going to have our kickoff cash contest. And also, Eric Carabel with a fantasy football advice. Now, if you need some advice, hit me up. Now would be a good time to do it. Hit me up on email, mikemiss@975thefanatic.com, or on my Twitter, mikemiss25 is the Twitter handle, with your questions for Eric Carabel coming up at 4 o'clock. All right, let's get back to the phones with Steve on a cell. What's up, Stevie?
Hey, Mike. How you doing, guys?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Okay. Hey, Mike, yesterday you guys, they're talking about Doc Rivers and everything. In your mind, and Tyrone and Jen, do you guys hold Doc Rivers really responsible as a reason why Ben Simmons doesn't want to come?
No, it's ridiculous. But listen, what Doc said, he shouldn't have said. As a coach, you probably shouldn't do something like that, right?
Yeah, I understand.
But it comes to a point where if he did it unfairly, right, if the other guy, and Ben Simmons we're talking about, did nothing wrong, well, then it's totally egregious. But we're talking about a guy who didn't take a shot. He hung the team out to dry in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, I mean, my cousin was over here. We're watching all the playoff games. And even before the end, my cousin and me were saying that this guy's got to go. We both like Ben Simmons, but there was something lacking.
He heard that. Something lacking when a guy doesn't have the courage to execute a fundamental shot, then you're hurting your team. You're letting your squad down.
Yeah, no heart at all.
Yes. So what Doc said was probably in the heat of the moment, and probably he was frustrated, and he shouldn't have said it, because it was embarrassing that he said that. Yeah. But the kid is taking it to the point where he didn't.
I understand that, but I don't blame Doc Rivers as a reason, why Ben Simmons doesn't want to be.
Well, Ben does.
Okay, I understand it. But I think Ben Simmons knows that the Philadelphia fans, wouldn't be on his side. I don't know.
No, he doesn't even think about that. He thinks he's totally the aggrieved party.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I got another story for you. You guys were talking about a frog this week.
Yes.
With the
pithing the frog, yes.
Have Tyrone and Jen punch up on their computer, Mike the Headless Chicken. Mike the Headless Chicken. This is a true story. This is a chicken.
I would say no.
I don't want to see a headless chicken, man. Come on.
Mike.
Talking about a biology experiment while the eighth graders trying to learn about biology.
His head cut off and it stayed alive.
Well, yeah, they do that.
Fed him through a dropper for a long time.
Oh, really?
Time.
For a long time?
Yeah, because.
Alive for 18 months.
Yeah.
18 months?
Yeah, but we don't. It's
I don't want to see the headless chicken.
It's terrible. Somehow it didn't cut the spinal cord some kind of way.
Really?
It had no faculty of real. It was a terrible life to think about it. And he used to feed it nutrients through some sort of dropper. It was it's actually cruel.
Well, why was he keeping it alive?
Because he went to cut the head off to feed his mother-in-law was coming over. He was trying to impress her. So he goes to cut the chicken's head off and then cook the chicken. And somehow afterwards, he noticed that the chicken was still, alive somehow. So he instead, left it alive and turned it into a thing.
Why?
He shouldn't have, but that's what happened. He was trying to impress the mother-in-law, which is always a mistake. And then it went from there. You can't win with mother-in-laws, so you don't try.
Oh, that's not true.
Well, listen, at that point, I go, I don't know what I would do with that, because then I would feel like I had to keep the chicken alive if the chicken was alive and I was trying to
with no brain.
It.
No, you put the chicken out of its
with
misery.
With no brain, the head was gone.
Is the chicken in misery? He doesn't have a brain.
Yeah, but
what kind of life is that chicken going to lead
just
now?
Functioning on guile. It's not thinking.
It's no guile. It's nothing.
It's not in pain, though.
But you can't leave it. And you just feed it with a dropper?
Well, it's not in pain. It's just existing.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing.
It's not
thing.
Torturing the chicken.
I don't know, though. What if he can feel the pain?
It's not pleasant to look at.
What if he's feeling the pain, but the brain can't register it for them to show it? and they're just in agony.
Well, how's it going to feel? The brain's got to be connected to the central nervous system.
Saying,
right?
I don't know. It just seems risky. It's like those people that are having surgery.
I would feel sorry for the chicken. I would say, I made a mistake here. I got to keep this chicken alive as long as possible.
And then you're going to sell tickets so people can watch them?
I might put a fake head on it.
Would you sell tickets?
Mike.
No, I wouldn't sell tickets.
Well, he did.
I would do
did
it
he,
for humanitarian
yes, to
reasons.
To see the headless chicken.
Stop.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't exploit the poor thing.
Well, he did. So
that's bad news.
Well, yeah. But it all started.
I might get a prosthetic head for it. No?
But it all
like a rubber chicken head before you stick that on there?
Maybe. But it all started. It's terrible. What you're doing is terrible. But yes, it is. But it's all started with him going down to the farm to get a nice chicken for the mother-in-law. And it led to all that mess.
So, yeah, they blame the mother-in-law.
I'm not blaming the mother-in-law.
Has nothing to do with it.
No, I'm not blaming the mother-in-law. I'm saying that you just feed the mother-in-law, which you always do, a special meal just because she's coming over.
But look, okay, I get it. I think the guy's, if he wouldn't have sold tickets to see the headless chicken, I would think it was merciful what he's trying to do, keep the thing alive, because he botched the you know,
now he profited off that thing.
Obviously not a good dude.
Now he profited off that thing.
That's terrible.
18 months
of profit. The alternative is he put it in a pot.
What? Yeah.
Well.
So you're profiting off of it?
No, you don't profit.
Like it's a cash crop?
You don't profit.
Cash chicken.
But
cash
chicken. I might at that point go, oh, this chicken's not ready to go. I now I have the responsibility to keep it alive.
God wanted that chicken to stay alive.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah. Jim on a cell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Yo, Mike.
What's up, Jim?
Christian, you guys. I'm a one-legged disabled veteran, and I'm from Deer Lake. I used to go and see Muhammad Ali all the time.
Oh, man. That's so cool. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, okay. All right, so go ahead. Oh, he's gone. Jeez. A buddy of mine who... was a reporter when we first, you know, like in our 20s, our first jobs, and he worked for the Pottstown Mercury. Mm-hmm. And so he went up to Deer Lake, and he's got this prized possession. He had a photo. Ali's got, you know, Ali's how he used to bite his lip.
Yeah.
You know, that sneer.
Yeah.
And he's got his glove, like, in my buddy's face, like this.
Oh, that's cool.
With
great.
The sneer. That's got to be the greatest picture ever.
Like, yeah, that's one of the old-timers.
Cool. Yeah.
I had a friend, Idris Ali, growing up. And he had a baby picture of Muhammad Ali holding him and kissing him.
Oh,
wow.
And he used to, yeah, the thing is he would overplay it. It was cool. If you grew up with him, here was the issue. You heard about it in fourth, fifth grade.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
You hear it about it again in middle school. A little less cool. But high school, it's like, all right, man. Like, you're an intelligent dude. You got all these great classes. You're going to go on to do great things. I need to hear about this picture from when you were a baby that you don't even remember.
Oh, he's proud of it.
But it was cool.
It's a prized possession.
It was cool the first two times.
I don't have a cool picture like this. It's the coolest picture you have with somebody. I'm not a picture guy, so.
I don't.
I got one with Schmidt. The big one.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a real big one. The guy made it.
Actually, my coolest picture.
Spring training.
Is me, Crystal, and Dr. J.
That's neat. Yeah.
You, Crystal, and Dr. J?
Courtside at the Sixers.
Oh, that's
probably
that's
my
great.
Coolest picture.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't have many sports stars. I have lots of country stars.
That's what I'm saying. Well, who's the biggest country star you got a picture with, Jen?
Keith Urban, probably.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, a good Australian right there.
Not a good Australian,
yes,
but Australian
is.
Indeed. An invader. Shouldn't be allowed to sing.
You have like a country wall?
I mean, I could make one, yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm, sure. With the pictures of people?
How would you rank them? Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Urban 1.
Urban 1.
You got like a Mumford and Sons?
No. Not that country. Luke Bryan, probably 2. Jason Aldean, 3, probably.
All right.
Luke Combs, Eric Church. So Eric Church is up there. He's in top 5.
I've heard all these people.
I don't know the last.
I'm going to see Eric Church in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. All right. 4 o'clock. We've got Eric Carabel with some fantasy football advice right after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour on a Thursday. It's a special hour. It's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. Time to check in on your fantasy football squads this weekend. Thanks to some information provided by our next guest. He, of course, is the great Eric Carabel from ESPN.com. Brought to us by Jen.
Family and Company Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged, visit Family and Company Jewelers for your fantasy engagement ring. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
Fantastic. Without further ado, he's on the Comcast hotline. That's got Eric Carabel. Hello, Eric Carabel.
Hello, Mike. How are you? It's Dallas Week.
Yes, it is Dallas Week. We have gotten absolutely zero reaction to it, but it is Dallas Week.
It's all Ben Simmons and Philly.
It's either that or, I don't know, maybe the Philadelphia fan base looks at this game and are not ready to like get into a big game with Dallas because they don't trust what their squad is.
I think that's fair because it's hard to know what the Eagles really are after seeing them in Week 2. They didn't move the ball that well except for 190-yard pass play. They didn't finish at the goal line. The running game doesn't look great. Devonta Smith might get shut down this week by a good cornerback. So I have some concerns about the Eagles putting up points, although Dallas didn't exactly put up a ton of points in Week 2 either. So this might be like a low-scoring, like 2017 game. Just don't make mistakes.
Okay. Is it a mistake if you back any of these Eagles offensive players this week?
Jalen Hurts is always going to be a top 10 play as long as he has a leg. So I think he's going to be able to run the ball. Remember, 50 or 60 rushing yards, that's a touchdown pass. That's really valuable in fantasy. Miles Sanders is worth a play. Dallas has two running backs down, not just one. I do think Tony Pollard is in play as a flex option, especially against the Eagles. They're going to want to pound the ball a little bit there because the Eagles' secondary is improved. Prescott to play, and of course they've got good wide receiver play as well. So there's a lot of individual plays here that are good, but I still don't expect a high-scoring game per se.
All right, what about around the lead? Do you see any particular really good matchups to play, guys?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're looking for teams that are playing against Atlanta. They're terrible. We saw that in Week 1. So Daniel Jones, a lot of people think he's a good play this week. He's been running a lot more than normal. In fact, 2 to Lamar Jackson among quarterbacks in rushing the football so far in usage. So I do expect the Giants are going to be able to put up some points on Atlanta. Most weeks, we're not going to be able to say that. And I do like Cincinnati at Pittsburgh this week. Pittsburgh's a mess on the offensive and defensive lines. Ben Roethlisberger's hurt. Their secondary's a mess. So Joe Burrow and his merry men are wide receivers should put up some points this week. If you've got the Bengals wide receivers, this is not a bad week to play them.
One question. Any love for Justin Fields this week?
Yeah, he's just like Jalen Hurts. He's a guy who's going to run the ball. I can't explain why they want to use Andy Dalton when he's healthy, but I would not go back to him. Fields looked terrible last week in relief, but I do think, again, all he needs to do is 50 rushing yards, 150 passing yards. That could be a top 10 quarterback in fantasy. He's not in my top 10 right now, but I do think he's close to it.
Okay. All right, let's get to the questions then. Let's first of all go with, this is a flex question. Should I start Cortland Sutton, Tyler Boyd, or Devin Singletary this week?
Singletary's looked real good. I mean, Moss is only the goal line back, so I think while Singletary's running well and getting 70, 80 yards per week, it is against Washington. But again, as long as they're feeding him, he goes over most wide receivers that are not top 20 guys.
All right, PPR League, Chooch wants to know, DJ Moore or Chris Godwin?
Godwin's got a tough matchup. Rams secondary is very good. This is a good week to go with Moore tonight because Houston is just awful.
All right. Brian, RB2, Gibson, McKissick, or Connor? And at flex, Samuel, Claypool, or Sutton?
Sutton obviously is a guy I like a little bit this week. He's not in my top 20, but I do think they throw to him enough. And then Gibson's always going to be played over these guys. I mean, McKissick catches passes, but Gibson gets the rushing yards, gets the touchdowns. I like him. And James Conner is a non-play overall right now.
All right. Daniel has a cryptic comment. If I'm offered a free month supply of toilet paper for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, should I take the deal? What is the deal with his value to my team?
I see the point there on Edwards-Helaire. He has been a disappointment. He's not getting targets. I'd rather have him in fantasy over toilet paper right now, but I do think Edwards-Helaire is more of a borderline flex option. So, like, Miles Sanders is a better option. Chase Edmonds of Arizona, if Swift plays for Detroit. I mean, don't dump Edwards-Helaire, but, well, dump. But you know what I mean? Like, he still has value.
All right, one of these three running backs, Greg, it wants to know, Elijah Mitchell, Cordero Patterson, or Philip Lindsay?
I mean, I think Mitchell's the play, assuming he does play. He's got a little bit of a shoulder problem there. You cannot assume that Cordero Patterson's going to score two touchdowns every week, even though they have a nice matchup against our favorite Giants fans. But I would still go with Mitchell.
All right, cool. First quarterback question. Should I start Ryan Tannehill or Kirk Cousins?
Tannehill is not played well. I mean, his offensive line is really a mess right now. But I do think Tannehill has a matchup this week that he can exploit. Kirk Cousins at Seattle, not a big fan of that one.
All right, Dalvin Cook, is he questionable this week? Should I start him?
I mean, Minnesota's going to play him, and they're going to give him a heavy workload. Now, he may leave the game early with an injury, but as long as Dalvin Cook is playing, you play Dalvin Cook over everybody in fantasy and running back. I basically accept McCaffrey.
All right. Stafford is my starter, and I have Darnold as my number two. Who should I start this week, beginning tonight?
I'm always going to start Matthew Stafford over Sam Darnold. I mean, I do think Darnold has a nice matchup, but I don't want to take it too far here because I think that we're going to get Stafford numbers pretty much every week. But I would start Stafford.
Okay. So it's you like Daniel Jones. So this next question is Daniel Jones or Stafford?
There I can make the case. I mean, obviously Stafford still has to play a tough defense. Looking at my rankings right now, I do have Stafford ahead of Daniel Jones by a couple spots. I hate trusting a Giant, to be honest with you right now. I would go with Stafford.
All right, Sean has a PPR league. Robbie Anderson or Allen Robinson?
The way Robbie Anderson is being used right now, no, not him. Allen Robinson, no matter who the quarterback is. And I do think the field is going to be able to throw the ball downfield quite a bit.
All right, Livio, I need a flex. Claypool, A.J. Brown, Taysom Williams.
I mean, A.J. Brown is always going to be a pretty good play for me. Again, I do expect Tannehill's going to be able to move the ball. Tannehill's a lot better than what he's shown, and so is A.J. Brown. Brown's definitely the play here.
All right, here's an interesting question from Nelson. Should I trade Deebo Samuel for Jameis Winston in a two-quarterback league? My quarterbacks right now are Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill, and I have Adams, Keenan Allen, and Sutton at wide receiver.
No, I do not. I don't want to trade for Jameis Winston. I mean, you're going to have erratic performances from week to week. We've already seen a high and a low from him. And I'm not sure if he's going to keep the job. If he keeps playing like he did in week number two, Taysom Hill will be the quarterback by mid-October. So, no, I would not make that trade.
All right. Flex option PPR league, Michael Pittman, James White, or E. Sanders?
You know what? I think Pittman this week. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game there. Colts have a nice matchup against Titans' secondary, which has been terrible so far. James White is normally good for five or six catches. I think Pittman gets in the end zone this week.
All righty. Let's go. Robbie Woods, DK Metcalf, or Deebo Samuel?
Well, I mean, DK Metcalf is a play every week, especially this week. Robert Woods is a good play this week. I do think Woods is going to have a better game. Cooper Kupp's not going to get all the action all season. Play those two.
All right, I think that concludes it for this week. We have a question from our Jen Escordo. Yeah. She has a question every week. Jen?
Hey, Eric. So I have Higgins, and he is questionable right now. It's a PPR. He's in my flex. Should I just go with it, or I have Juju or Chark as an option?
I mean, I think if Higgins plays this week, you're going to definitely want to play him. Pittsburgh's the secondary has not played well so far. No pass rush either. So I think Higgins, as long as he is active, if not, it would be Juju.
Thanks.
All right. Now, this question from you, Tyrone, is from Booney?
No, it's from one of my guys.
Oh, one of your guys. Yeah. Sterling Shepard or Cortland Sutton, Eric?
I like Sutton. I don't want to. I think Daniel Jones is nice that he's running the ball, but I don't trust him as a passer. I would take Sutton over him.
All right. We are a couple days away from the game, obviously, but I always ask you for your prediction. Are you feeling the Eagles right now? 4-point line against Dallas.
I feel the Eagles on the cover. I still think 2017, something like that. And I think they're going to split the season against Dallas and win the home game.
All right. Sounds good. You're the best.
All right.
Thanks, Eric.
Take care.
All right, that's Eric Cabral. Brought to us by
Family and Company Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged, visit Family and Company Jewelers for your fantasy engagement ring.
Okay, sounds good. We got our fantasy football action in there. Quick hit, 610-632-0975. Let's go to Tom in Philly. What's up, Tom?
Mike, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
I'm like a kid in a candy store this weekend.
What's that? Oh, the Villanova?
Well, yeah, for that's
a,
one.
For a
we
half.
Have a
for a half, a you mean.
Yeah. No. No, there's a cornucopia of sports this weekend.
Yeah.
Not only do we have Dallas at the Eagles and the Phillies,
yeah.
We also have the Ryder Cup, uh-huh. The Pennsylvania Derby,
oh.
And Villanova-Penn State.
Yeah.
With Villanova getting 30 and a half.
What, there's a line on this game?
There's a line, it's out right now, 30.5.
30 and a half?
Yeah, it's, that screams Bet Penn State.
I got to be honest with you, I may play Villanova with that.
Yeah.
30 and a half. They're not even interested in beating them by 30 and a half.
Here's something interesting, too, on the Phillies.
Uh-huh.
Tonight, the Braves could actually lose because Bumgarner's pitching, the only pitcher that Arizona really has.
Yeah.
And when the Braves play tomorrow, they have to play two games against San Diego. And even though they have supposed to be a home game, they have to play it in San Diego, and they're already behind 5-4
yeah.
in the sixth. So the Phillies actually have a chance if they get at least 3 out of 4, hopefully 4. Off these stinking Pirates.
Yeah. 3 or 4. They should be able to win 3 or 4.
So my DVR is going to be working overtime, getting the Ryder Cup down, getting the Pennsylvania Derby in, and trying to catch everything.
Who do you like in the Ryder Cup?
I like the United States finally.
Do you?
After losing 8 out of... The reason why is the Whistling Straits is a monster course, and Steve Stricker's from Wisconsin, where it is, and he's setting it up as a bomber's course.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, besides John Rahm and maybe Shane Lowry, Europe really doesn't have the real long hitters on their team.
Oh, that's good analysis.
And that's why I'm going with them, although Europe always seems to get along better and no matter how highly the American players are rated, they've won 8 out of the last 11.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see what happens with that, brother.
All right, buddy.
All right, man. You got it. So did you see what the European team did as soon as they got there? Yesterday, to curry favor with the American Wisconsin crowd, they dressed in Green Bay Packer golf attire colors, and they wore cheese heads to the course, and which they threw out to the crowd, Tyrone.
Yeah,
how about
pandering.
That
weak pandering's not going to work. They're not over here to kill. They're over here to love. What? That tells me USA's going to win.
They're taking the crowd. They're like, listen, where are your friends? We are your friends. It's like Mars Attacks when the aliens came out. Do not run. We are your friends.
You see, that's not going to work, Napoleon. The way this is going to go over here is we're going to recognize that you're the enemy. Like, that's cute that you do that now, but once the play starts, this is one of the few times the crowd's allowed to really go nuts because the players go nuts.
Well, how does that? That's never affected Europe before.
Well,
that one time, 2016.
Except this year where they come in here thinking that it's sweet over here. It's not sweet over here. We're not playing games over here. You're the enemy. You know, that's why I still eat freedom fries.
Golfers are flimsy.
Yeah, but that's why I eat freedom fries. I don't mess with the Europe like that when it comes to competition.
Well, I don't either. But the Europeans don't care. They seem to beat your brains in.
Somebody had to spend money for that stuff. Somebody was thinking about disarming the crowd.
Yeah.
That tells me
you would think that maybe the U.S. team would have done that. Stricker's from Wisconsin, for crying out loud.
I mean, he's still a golfer. That's the problem. They don't understand people. Because they're not real people.
I never look at those American golfers and say they can win.
They're favored. -220. That's a pretty big favorite.
That's because they're in Wisconsin.
They're
favored. Never matters.
They're
flimsy. Why? Because they have 6 rookies. Maybe the rookies can carry him through.
Well, I mean, all I'm saying is I'm...
Kepka's already bitching that it's not a great event because it takes him off his routine.
Well, he's a fraud. I'm tired of him. I just need that knee to get healthy enough for the celebrity boxing match.
DeChambeau is in there.
Yeah, I don't need him.
No, neither of them.
It could all come apart, but maybe they come together. Weirder thing, it could be like the movie where the two guys hate each other, and then something brings them together, and now it's like a buddy comedy where they're best friends.
Together. Yeah, you're going to be on the same course at the same time.
They might run into each other at the bar afterwards because they're both bros. They're going to want to.
Yeah, I don't think DeChambeau drinks.
DeChambeau doesn't drink?
No, I don't.
The way he acts?
I don't think he's a drink. I think he's just a, he's a milkman.
You going to tell me he doesn't want a Miller Lite?
No. I don't think that's
a Heineken?
No.
He drinks an IPA, for sure.
Yeah, he's not a, I don't think he's a drinker. I think he's one of these milk goofy guys.
No, are you serious?
Yeah.
I got to look that up.
Let's go to Chad. If you think he was a drinker, he would have beers and bond with some people. He didn't bond with anybody.
I know,
his own little world.
I know good drunks and bad drunks.
That dude wouldn't even sit down and have a beer with anybody. Let's go Chad on a cell. Chad, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chad.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Chad?
I just want to talk a little bit about Deer Lake. And as a former MMA fighter, I had the opportunity to work out there a couple times. And I'll tell you what, it's called Fighter's Heaven for a reason. John Madden's son actually purchased it back in 2016.
Really? And, I didn't know that.
Yes. In July of 2016. And they refurbished a lot of it. And it's so awesome up there. There's 17 cabins. They refurbished Ali's cabin, his mosque, the commons where he ate all his meals, and they refurbished some of the rocks, all the names on, some murals are up there, and it's such a cool place. And a lot of the cabins, they actually have televisions with stories of Ali and the things that he did up there and some of the interviews that he had. And I'll tell you what, if you ever get an opportunity to go up there, it's a short drive from Philly, just right up the turnpike to 78 West, and get off at the Pottsville Hamburg Eggs right by Cabela's at 61 North. Head north for 20 minutes. It's right up there on the left.
Who trains up there now?
It's more for museum-type stuff right now.
Okay.
But I had an opportunity to work out with my former boxing coach. Actually trained with Ali when he was up there, so he was able to pull some strength.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah, they got a brand-new ring up there. Mm-hmm. They refurbished his locker room. All that type of stuff. It is really cool. And I'll finish it up with this. I know most of the best cheesesteaks are in Philly, but if you have an opportunity to get up to Ali's camp, there's a little town about 2 miles north of Hamburg called Port Clinton. And the Port Clinton Hotel has a ginormous cheesesteak that's very comparable to what you'll find in Philly.
Oh, I don't know, man.
So you can make a full day out of
it. I don't know. I'm doubting the veracity. Of this.
Well, I've been working down in Philly a little bit now, so I've been trying
What's the roll like? That's the important thing.
Well, I always like mine grilled. I don't know if that's a violation, but I
grilled.
Like mine grilled. Yes, I do.
You like what grilled? Your roll?
So it's crispy. Yeah.
Oh, dude. You just lost your cred.
I'm
all right, man.
I knew it was going to come out.
Come on, now.
You were shaking your head the whole time.
Yeah, I know, there's no way.
Come on.
I've heard all this before.
Roll. That's a grinder. You can't have that. I'm not a grinder fan. I don't know why you would take a perfectly good hoagie roll, cheesesteak roll, and cook it. I don't get that.
Like,
there's no point cooking the roll. Why?
See?
It's a fresh roll. Don't cook it.
I wish there was a way a couple times to have it come out at the same time as the meat. Like, somehow the bread came out of the oven warm, and then you put the cheesesteak right in somehow. Would that be a violation?
I don't think so.
Why would you need the bread?
It's not about need. Who doesn't like warm bread?
Well,
I'm not talking about hard bread.
Right,
I'm
just
talking
warmed
about warm
up.
Bread.
You get your warm bread in a basket when you sit down and have something to eat. That's where you get the warm bread. You don't have a cheesesteak.
You don't think a cheesesteak, which is based on melting cheese, wouldn't
be good? It's the warmth
inside.
Same
bread.
It's the bread that surrounds, the coolness of the bread that surrounds the hotness of the cheesesteak that works.
No.
Yes.
This is why I like it, because the bread's
room
cool.
Temperature bread, not cool bread. Room temperature.
Why does it have to be room
because
temperature?
Because it's the freshest part of the bread. The bread is the fresh. You
I'm
kill
talking
bread.
About it
you put it
directly,
in the oven, you kill it. You kill the freshness.
How do you make bread?
You bake it.
Right. I'm saying that the same bread comes right out of the oven, and you put the cheesesteak stuff in immediately and eat the sandwich.
And when is bread the best?
Right.
As soon as it comes out of the oven.
As soon as it comes out.
So warm.
That's fresh bread. That's a rule that's just
logistically impossible.
I don't think it's impossible.
You got to have a bunch of rolls and make cheesesteaks. You can't wait for the bread to come out.
You tell me if I had a private party at Jim's. They couldn't have the bread come out at the same time if I'm paying them.
Yes, I'm sure.
Come on.
How could you, like, think about improving a cheesesteak? A cheesesteak is already...
Tyrone just did.
What?
I made it
warm bread.
I made it
better. Bread is irrelevant to a cheesesteak.
Warm bread. See, that's a rule just to have a rule, Mike. You're a rulesman.
You got a lot of those, Mike.
That's what I'm saying. You're a rulesman. But this rule's not a rule. I'm not diluting the cheesesteak. I'm just having warm bread.
It's still going to be delicious.
Not toasted bread. Warm. Not toasted.
Warm bread is going to lose the roll structure.
No.
Yes, it is. Going to make it softer.
Thick enough.
It's fine.
No, that's a terrible idea.
It's a wonderful idea,
awful
Tyrone.
Idea.
Don't listen to him.
And most people will agree. It's an awful idea.
That's why Booney called you a food tyrant. And that is correct.
That is correct.
You're not the
you
king
are.
Of food. You're a tyrant. You're the dictator
I'm
of food.
I'm not the king of food. I'm talking about the perfect food of a fresh roll, maybe a Sarcone's roll, maybe a seeded roll with a cheesesteak. And you want to like take it up by cooking the bread, putting the bread in the oven?
All I'm doing is getting it earlier.
Just
I'm
just
getting
warm.
The same Sarcone's roll.
You can't get it earlier.
I can if I ask.
They're making dozens and dozens of rolls. They're done. The process is done.
I'll talk to Mr. Sarcone.
Or make it at home. You could do that. Make your own.
That's right.
There you go. It's not going to be as good.
Rules
but.
Let's take a break. I'm a food tyrant. I respect food. Respecting food is leave the cheesesteak alone.
All right.
Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4:30, time to get the Twitter poll updates brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons of Jen for Scordo. Jen.
Hi, it's Dallas.
Hi, Jen.
Week. Hello.
Hello.
It's Dallas Week. And is Dallas Week as big of a deal for you now as it was in the past? Right now, 35% say no with less enthusiasm. 65% say, yep, it's still the same hate.
All righty. Thank you. First salvo, the just foolish cheesesteak idea. Mike, you're correct. Number one, you can't cut a fresh cheesesteak roll out of the oven. It's too flimsy. Number two, the hot steak would just overpower the soft bread fresh out of the oven. The steak needs a crusty, firm steak roll to hold up to the materials you put inside it. That's exactly right.
Nah, that guy's a fraud.
He's absolutely right.
Nah, he's a fraud.
You can't argue with anything he just said.
Yes, first of all, I can make it thick enough. Sometimes they hollow out the bread, some people. This is coming out fresh. I'm putting it in there. And I don't mean the moment it comes out. I'm saying because it comes out hot. I said warm. So it cools some.
So the cheesesteak place is now supposed to have a roll station.
No, that's not
right?
What I said.
So, well, where do you get the just out of the oven roll for the cheesesteak people?
I said, like, imagine if you were at the place, the Amoroso's, like, at the plant, and you brought in cheesesteak people to the place, right? So they're saying, how much time left on the bread? All right, and then how long does it have to cool off? There's science to this, and then they make it to where the meat and the warmth hit at the same time.
Cheesesteak division to the Amoroso roll people?
What I'm saying is that in my world, I'm having a party. It's at the Amoroso's place, all right? We got a bartender. We got a DJ. Everything's great. And you're going to have fresh cheesesteaks from your place of choice, and the cheesesteak's going to hit. The meat's going to be done at the moment the bread cools down to where it's not hot, but it's just warm, and you hit it. Oh, my God, it's the greatest. I would go back to eating meat if I could get that. I'd give it all up. To have that. It would be delicious.
Yes, it would.
It would be fantastic.
Overkill thought I've ever heard.
It's not overkill. It's underkill that people aren't moving on this already.
And a restaurant could do it.
Restaurant could do it if you make the fresh bread.
You know how long it takes? Right.
If you make the fresh bread.
They could work out those logistics.
So you're dismissing it.
I don't even want to waste my time thinking about that nonsense.
You're dismissing a good idea.
A perfectly good item.
Maybe that's my next thing.
Well, go ahead. Good luck to you.
My Charlie Brown movie.
Good luck to you. To Tyrone's hot roll cheesesteaks.
Oh, he's so good. Warm.
Warm roll cheesesteaks.
That's number three. My live action Charlie Brown revenge film. My Mama Cass biopic. and now this. Those are my three passion projects I need to work on the side.
There you go. God. I like it.
By the way, the Phillies lineup is out for tonight. So Phil's in a, are they going to play? Is it still raining out there? What's going on?
I think the rain, what's up? It started earlier. It looks like there might be a bit of a window.
They can get it in tonight?
It's not supposed to rain at all from 8 to 10.
Well, apparently it's not called off yet, so they're going to try to
play. Well, good luck getting down there because it's flooding all over the place.
Yeah.
The tarp's on the field.
All right, so your boy tonight in a big spot, A. Nola.
Yeah.
And the lineup, Herrera, Segura, Harper, McCutcheon in the cleanup hole. Connor Overton is a right-handed pitcher. They got him in a cleanup hole because he hit that home run last night?
Yeah. And, and they don't have any better. Well, you want to put
Brad Brad is next.
Yeah.
Playing first base.
Yeah, I got it.
Galvis is playing third. Didi in the lineup.
Shouldn't be playing.
That's shortstop.
Shouldn't be playing.
Uh-oh. Hold on to your seats. Andrew Knapp is your catcher tonight. Oh, Nappy and Nola. A little secret success.
He was good last outing. I think
Knapp catch him?
Yeah. I think you might have to link them together.
Uh-oh.
The only difference is I'd play JT at first instead of Bamboo Brad.
Well.
But I think you got to, at this point, you need every game.
Got to give JT a night off.
Well, maybe, and he is hurt. Maybe he needs it.
All right, let me just throw mention that we had our first winner today. We had our first winner on the cash contest. First, now, this company owns a lot of stations throughout the nation. We cashed in with our guy today, Eric Benz from Levittown, PA, won the $500 on the Fanatics kickoff cash. So congratulations to Eric Benz, B-E-N-T-Z, from
first
Levittown, PA.
Fanatic winner of this cycle. And I don't think he's going to be the last.
That's awesome. So congratulations to Eric. So that's why you play. All right, one quick thing that's hit me. I got to throw it as an early look. Tomorrow we'll give our picks to Brian Westbrook. I'm astonished by this line. Again, this is a line that's screaming at me. Sometimes lines really scream at me. This one grabbed me by the throat. Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, are 12th in the nation.
Yeah, but they're not good.
Wisconsin is ranked 18th.
And you saw Penn State already beat them week one.
Wisconsin is a 6.5-point favorite over Notre Dame. It's screaming whiskey.
Yeah, I think, honestly, Notre Dame's...
It's a neutral field. They're playing the game at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
But get this. The quarterback for Notre Dame was the starter for Wisconsin last year, Jack Cohn.
Yeah.
They know his weakness.
Yeah, and they struggled against Toledo. Like, they're undefeated, Notre Dame, but they struggled against Toledo. God. They're not good.
Started at 3. It's up to 6.5. It's screaming at me.
Now, I like Wisconsin by 2 touchdowns. And that's not just
That's got to be one of my plays. I'm sorry, Irish fans.
Actually, I got to check
down
how you guys did. I'm going to do that now.
All right, let's go Chris in Williamstown. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Mikey Miss, Jen, Tyrone. Mike, you always look sporting with that blue shirt on, pal.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
You know, as far as the cheesesteak goes, you know, like, if you put the bun on like a flat grill and it warm it up a little bit, like, you're against that?
Yeah. You don't need that.
Even though it might come
out. You don't need it. A fresh roll holds up to a nice cheesesteak. It's the moisture that soaks into the bread that works. You don't need a toasted roll.
It's a little soggy.
What are we doing? Hamburgers on a flat top? Come on.
Well, speaking of that, I used to work at McDonald's, and I mean, back in the day, they put the bun through a warmer before they make sandwiches.
That's
and
a hamburger
like,
roll. That's not a cheesesteak roll.
Granted. All right. So, you know, it wasn't only you that got me, you know, like, that I called out. It was everybody, no matter who it was, trying to say, you know, you got to give it time. You got to give it a chance. Ben Simmons. You know, whether it was year two or year five or hearing his comments here and there, like, if you remember, I was always out on the bum from the beginning. I think his defense does not overshadow what he couldn't do offensively and just his mental mindset from day one. Like, you know, it's stuff like this that makes me think he's never going to get it.
Yeah, I'm with you. At this point now, I'm out. It's a foregone conclusion that I don't want him, that he's not going to be here anymore. So, like, you know, I'm not going to analyze his game anymore. That's other people to do.
And you know what? Like, I hate the hypocrisy that he's trying to put out there. Oh, I'll go to any team, but I won't play for Minnesota. It's, you know what? Just, and the Phillies are even worse because, you know, like, whether it was the Sixers getting knocked out after being a number one seed and now the Phillies who come in and, you know, like, they have a chance, but I you know, as I said a couple of days ago, I don't really think they have a chance because I think this team is just mentally just, like, they can't figure it out, like, no matter what it is, position player, pitchers, coach, you know, like, it has gotten to the point where our whole city is held hostage. Whether it was Nick Sirianni coming here, being a new mind, whether it was Girardi, whether it was...
Hey, you got the Flyers coming your way. 5 days, man.
You know what, man? And
yeah, get on that Flyer bandwagon, brother.
Now, that's another thing, because now you don't know what to expect out of this team with all the moves that they made in the offseason and the changes they made this offseason. Like, you don't know what to expect out of the Flyers even. Like, we're trying to establish our identity as a sports
city. You're right. And right now it's in preliminary stages. Well, it's not for the Phillies. If the Phillies do not make it, I will not have, like, one bit of disappointment. I won't blame anybody. I look at this team and I go, this team is struggling to score a freaking run against those mutts that have won 47 games. And I'm going, here's what they are. You know, like, how could I possibly be disappointed if they don't win the division? This is supposed to be a team supposed to win a division? Now, by the grace of God, they might. But if they don't, I go, well, they weren't good enough. I can fully accept that. Greg in Bethlehem. What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. I love the cheesesteak talk. Nothing like a good gastronomic debate. I'm looking forward to the game on Monday, but I'm having a hard time piecing together the Eagles' pathway to victory. Have you come up with a scheme that you think might work?
No, I actually have not. I don't know what this is going to be. The first game, they had a really good offensive game plan against the 49ers. They tried to outsmart themselves. The Dallas defense is not that good. I'm assuming you can do some things, but I have no idea which way they're going to swing in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, our offense has gone from one from A to Z.
It has. That's why I don't know what to expect in this game.
Right. And, you know, defense, you know, hopefully with BG out, you know, it doesn't kill us. I'm concerned that Dallas could run the ball down our throat, which would be demoralizing.
Well, that's possible.
You know, if that happens, it'll be a tough watch.
Yeah. You know, their line has held up. We still don't know how good their linebackers are, so that's a valid point.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, I guess.
All right, buddy. You got it. Let's take a quick break. It's one of those quick breaks. And we'll be at you on the other side. The Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
445 Mike Missinelli Show, 610-632-0975 is how you get in. Let's get right back to the phone calls with David in Wilmington. Start things off this segment. David, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, I love your show. It's the first time calling in. I especially love Jen and Tyrone. I wanted to weigh in yesterday and maybe even get a general knowledge question on but you were all talking about the Beatles, and I think there was a violation.
Yeah, I messed up. I messed up the one song. Yep.
On the Good Day Sunshine not being, I mean, that's not.
Oh, the Good Day Sunshine you like is one of the tops?
No, you confused that for a day.
Yes, I did. I confused one of the songs. Yes, right. I admitted that on Twitter. Yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, the Phillies have got me. I mean, I'm hooked. Like watching one of the lesser Bad News Bears sequels. They're so gangly. The lineup is bad, but I'm hooked. I watch every pitch because it's like one great play right after a lousy play, and they just shoot themselves in the foot. It's like a tragic comedy in three acts. I can't turn away.
I can't either. Now, I do it, obviously, because I have to kind of watch every pitch and see what's up. But I feel exactly the way you're feeling. I look at it and I go, this is such crap baseball, and yet you're compelled to keep watching it.
Hey, I had a celebrity sighting today.
Yes, what is it? You see Adam Sandler?
It was at the Hotel DuPont.
Oh, in Wilmington. Boston. Who was it?
Salman Rushdie.
Salman Rushdie?
I am not pulling a Kramer. Sitting in the lobby.
Really?
Yes.
Well, did you feel compelled to get away from him?
No, but any time someone was like, hey, look, maybe putting up a photo shot or something,
yeah,
an aide would stand in front of him.
Wow. Well, is there still a price on his head?
I don't know. And what's more, what is he doing in Wilmington?
Well, I don't know. You have to find that out. It's your turf.
You get a little investigation
going on.
I have a theory. I think he's in to watch the Phillies.
He's in to watch the Phillies?
Yeah.
He's a Phillies fan?
He wants to see this dramedy play out, maybe take his own book.
Yeah, all right, brother.
I'll look into it.
You got it. Appreciate the call. Is there still bounty on his head, you think?
Probably.
Rushdie?
I don't know if you ever lift a bounty. I know I wouldn't.
He's married to a celebrity, though, isn't he? Isn't he married to a celebrity, like an actress? Salman? Padma Lakshmi? You know her, Jen?
Yes.
She's also like a chef?
She's the host of Top Chef.
Yeah, she's the host of Top Chef. Yeah. They're married, right?
No.
No?
They got divorced in 2007.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was married four different times.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Okay.
76 to 87. Somebody else.
I guess she didn't like that bounty.
88 to 93, 97 to 2004, and then he married her from 2004 to 2007.
Jen, let me ask you a question. This is a men-women question.
Okay.
If there was a bounty on your husband or boyfriend, are you staying?
I mean, that's hard to say.
Is true love ignoring a bounty on your husband's head?
That's too hard to say. There would be too many factors involved. Can't answer that. It's impossible to answer.
Yes, you do.
I got to be honest with you. I would be man enough to send her away.
If you had the bounty on your head?
If I had the bounty on my head, I would never put her in harm's way. I would say, listen.
I would be honest about it.
I appreciate the fact that you married me, but now there's a bounty on my head, and you could be in the purview.
See, I'm going to let her make her own decision. I'm going to explain how hot it is in these streets. But some women you can't send away. The loyalty comes through so strong that you can't shake her.
Yeah, why don't you go stay with your mother for a few days?
It's very gentlemanly of both of you.
I would explain what was going on, but if she wanted to stay, I'm like, you can catch a bullet.
I couldn't let her stay.
Oh, I could.
We can't let her stay. You got to protect her.
If she makes up her own mind and wants to stay under those circumstances,
you got to protect her from yourself. She's going to stay because she loves you.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
You got to be selfless.
She's not safe without me either. So now you're adding more people. Now all of a sudden you take her. She goes to her mom's house. And they shoot the mom up, too.
That's right.
She doesn't have to go to the mom's house. You send her to an exclusive villa.
Come on, man.
Some sort.
I don't have any money. What we're going to do is we're going to hole up in the basement.
Send her to Akron or something.
They'll find
live
her.
In Akron.
No, she doesn't want to live in fear.
Andrew in Hamburg. Andrew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
Hey, Mike, Tyrone, Jen. Thank you guys for always keeping us entertained, especially on a rainy day like this. Just makes me super excited hearing about people talking about Deer Lake and Ali.
definitely just a couple miles north of Hamburg. And, you know, I had the opportunity with my father and oldest sister get up there and see a little bit of that camp.
Wow. That's got to be, like, amazing to actually see Ali training in a little camp near your house.
You know, my especially if you know the area, Hamburg's the northern edge of Berks County, and, you know, Deer Lake's just that southern tip of Schuylkill County. So kind of, I don't want to say middle of nowhere, but yeah, there's not much else going on up there. So certainly a bright spot for that area.
Yeah.
And, yeah, my father was a pretty tall guy, like 6'6", and had my oldest sister on his shoulders. And Ali, when he's welcoming folks in, I actually took my sister off my dad's shoulders, and obviously they stuck out. So took my sister off my dad's shoulders and put it on his, and they did a little lap.
Wow, that's amazing.
Probably, I don't want to say the coolest thing my sister ever did.
Really? I mean, you're talking about one of the most famous athletes ever.
Most definitely.
And, you know, that's so cool.
And, obviously, like I said, my dad was a tall guy, so he stuck out in the crowd. You know, back in the day, you know, guys that had their big college rings, that was a thing. Ali did a magic trick with my dad's college ring. And, he made it disappear off my dad's finger, doing like a little sparring thing, just how quick Ali was.
Yeah.
He beyond cool. And, I still have an original pennant from that training camp that I got in the man cave. And, I got buddies that'll be like, how much you want for that thing? Like, dude.
Yeah.
You know, it may not be worth anything.
But to you, it's worth millions.
Exactly. You know? It's a little slice of recognition for the area. And,
yeah, that's very cool, Andrew. Thanks for the memory. And we're talking about this Ali documentary. It's on PBS. I haven't seen all of it. I've seen a lot of it, though, and I DVR'd it. But what I've seen has been really interesting with all the people they've interviewed. And they've interviewed all the wives, too. I mean, they got deep into his infidelities. And interviewed the wives that finally had to leave them and all that stuff. And they've interviewed all the children and all the stuff that's in there. All right, 5 o'clock hour is ahead. The Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's a 5 o'clock hour. Yes, 5 o'clock hour brought to us by Guida Door and Window. Their big summer sale. They extended it through the end of this month. You got to act now. 40% off all windows and doors. Just call 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. All right, so Eagles in Dallas Monday. We'll be talking about it on Football Friday. For the Monday game, but we'll also be talking about it on Football Monday for that night's game.
Yes.
So we still seem like a lot of days away from the game.
It does feel like it's a long way.
And not one person wanted to talk about it today. Not one. It's hard to believe.
It is crazy. It's crazy.
Dallas Week is no longer Dallas Week.
Also, you know, when Sirianni had that original press conference, and there was a bunch of people that said, oh, you can't judge anything from it, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. How dare you be critical of that? It tells me that it did turn off a certain amount of fans.
Yep.
And then this loss makes them kind of second-guess the team, and they're going to be in a holding pattern. I think if he had hit a home run with that opening press conference, a la, like, Buddy Ryan when he first got hired,
yeah,
I think you get more of a buy-in now. And I think people are more hyped for Dallas. I do think that kind of stuff, we can pretend it doesn't matter, but I think it does. Because I know it's all about wins and losses, but early in the stage like this, it does matter.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of seasons, it won't matter at all. But I think week three, I think there's still a lot of people who are like, I don't know about this guy.
Yeah.
And that, why get excited until I find out
about
it?
It's also, we go, all right, it looks like to us Dallas is the front runner in division. They didn't do enough last week to let us get real spicy about our chances to win a division and beat Dallas. So we're kind of in the sludge of it.
But it's not like it's impossible for them to win.
No, it's not impossible at all. But as far as the hype goes, people are going, I'm not really sure that they can beat them. So why brag about the fact that our team's better than their team if we don't know that yet?
And that is the difference between an Eagles fan and a Dallas fan. Because Dallas will talk, no matter what.
Yeah.
Philadelphia fan will sit back and say, okay, maybe. Yeah. Let's just slow our roll a bit.
Exactly.
He's a superior fan base.
Absolutely.
Superior human being.
Oh, it is. But even the weasels amongst us haven't,
Yeah, they haven't popped up either,
They have not popped up.
Well, they're going to wait till after because they're weasels.
It's true.
Then afterwards, there's no fan. I've never been to Dallas. I don't care. I don't know where Dallas is on a map.
Yeah.
But look how smart I am.
All right, let's go Curtis in Willow Grove to start the 5 o'clock hour. What's up, Curtis?
Yeah, Mike, first-time caller. I'd like to say hi to Jen and Tyrone. Mike, you got to try the cheesesteak, man.
I got to try what cheesesteak?
No, I'm just saying, you just got to try the warm roll.
It's not feasible.
Why can't you just try it?
Where do you get a warm roll cheesesteak? At the warm roll cheesesteak place?
I'm telling you, you try it, it changes your life.
First of all, the warm roll would have to come from a bakery. There ain't no cheesesteaks in a bakery.
But you could do it just like Tyrone said, though. You could just, heat it up.
I'm not talking about at home. I'm talking about buying a cheesesteak somewhere.
You could just buy it somewhere. Just have them to heat your roll up and just put it right on it.
Come on, man. That was delicious. Come on.
Okay, I got a question there. Yeah. I got a question about Ben Simmons.
Uh-huh.
I've been watching basketball probably like 50 years of my life. And I have never, ever seen a player that don't want to shoot a basketball.
It's because it's never existed.
It just drives
I said
crazy.
That 3 years ago. In the history of basketball, it's never
it
existed.
It's crazy. It's nutty. It bothers your life sometimes.
People used to argue with me about it. I go, never in history.
No.
I love the guy, but it's abnormal that he doesn't shoot. No, it's not, Mike. But a lot of guys don't kick. No. There is nobody in the history of the game who played in the perimeter who didn't take a shot.
I have never seen it in my life, man. I've been watching basketball for a while, and I'm like, I can't believe it. I just cannot believe it.
Well, we don't have to worry about it anymore, so.
Yeah. I hope he's gone. I hope I can look at the bottom of the ticker one day and say, oh, man, he's gone.
Yeah, well, I think it's going well. Yeah. It goes without saying that he's gone. And then I go, I don't care what happens. It's like Wentz. I've actually earned a dislike for Wentz. Yeah, I never used to dislike him. I actively dislike him now. So when Ben goes somewhere, I ain't pay attention. Yeah, knock yourself out, dude. Yeah. Oh, Ben Simmons got another double tonight. That's wonderful. I'm out. I don't care. Matt Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nat.
Yes, sir.
What's up, buddy?
Enjoy your program.
Thank you.
You do a great job.
It's not a program.
I'll be simple.
It's a show.
Ben Simmons, he is in breach of contract.
Yeah, I know he is.
What? Well, then get some good lawyers, look at it.
Wait. We know he's in breach of contract. There's nothing that's going to benefit you from his breach of contract.
Well, you want to get something of value for him. But anybody with any brains outside the Sixers are going to look at him and saying, What's it going to take to change his attitude? And I don't think it's probably too much. Now, I would get most of the money back. I'd give him a couple of million.
Get rid
of him and get
you can't do what you're suggesting.
Okay.
He has a contract. He doesn't get paid on the contract. He is breaching the contract. There is no punishment for that. He doesn't have to play, but you don't have to pay him either. So there's no financial settlement that you can make that would benefit your team.
Well, let's let some good Philadelphia lawyers attack it and see what happens.
Oh, my God.
But generally, my experience in my 70-plus
years... Is there a voice that's coming out of my mouth?
He's not listening.
Does a voice come out of my mouth sometimes?
Yes, he did listen.
Matt, listen to me. You can't, like, it doesn't matter, lawyers, it doesn't matter. A contract is a contract. If you perform it, you get paid. If you don't, you don't get paid. There's nothing that lawyers can do.
Well, he's not performing the contract.
Yes, so he's not getting paid for the contract. But there's nothing lawyers can do in excess of that.
Well,
why can't we understand this?
When a play, you get rid of him. You let him go.
Oh, my God, yes, we know. You got to get rid of him. That's what they're trying to do. The people throw this breach of contract. He's breached his contract. Yes, he has. But like a contract, it really is like either you perform it or you don't. You don't have to perform it. Just because you have a contract doesn't mean that you have to actually perform it. If you perform it, you get paid. If you don't perform it, you don't get paid. But there's nothing else that anybody can do. There's no fines connected to it. You can't bleed a guy financially.
Well, my experience with lawyering for many years at the Pipe Fitters Union says that you can negotiate this different now with the Pipe Fitters.
You can't. So basically, the only leverage you have is to just hold tight and hope that something shakes loose. And in the meantime, you don't have to pay them. That's it. That's the only remedy.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to Tony Beef in Abington. Tony Beef, what's up?
Hey, buddy. I just wanted to call and say thank you for just being on the radio every day. You really make the time fly so fast from 2 o'clock until it's time to
meet. Thank you very much. Thank you. I have a contract to do that. And if I don't show up tomorrow, perform it, they don't have to pay me.
Yeah, well, I couldn't believe that guy was saying that. I'm just tired of hearing about Ben Simmons anyway.
Yeah, he's a breach of contract, Mike. Yeah, I know he is. Yeah. When you're not performing, he's in breach of a contract, yes.
Yeah, you can use that contract to wipe your know-what.
Yeah.
But anyway, 2 o'clock, I tell my guys, listen, turn the radio off. There's no music. We listen to Mike Missinelli. And if you guys don't like it, put your headphones on. And guess what happens at 2 o'clock? Nobody puts their headphones
on. Nice, I like it. Yes.
Nobody.
Those headphones. Put them in a box. Put them in your cabinet.
When you had that bald guy that used to work with you who used to wax his eyebrows and talk about the Flyers all the time, he put the headphones on.
Oh, Martinez.
You know, the guy who would do the Tom Brokaw imitation.
Martinez. Oh, that's Martinez.
That was a good.
He did a pretty good imitation.
Mike, I could tell you're Italian because everything you talk about, when you talk about food, like your opinion, you're
respect the food. Basically, all we do is respect the food in the culture, right? So like, there's certain things you do. There's certain things you don't do.
Yeah, I don't get the warm roll. Like, you know, when you get a good cheesesteak and a nice good roll, what do you got to warm it up for?
You don't need a warm roll.
You don't have to.
A warm roll will soften up. It won't give you enough the fiber for the cheesesteak to hold up to the juiciness of the cheesesteak.
Yeah, so many people are calling and saying, yeah, dude, put it in the oven.
One person called, that's it. One person and Tyrone and Jen.
And thousands on social media.
You're right, it's a soft roll. Even like when
some guy in Harrisburg endorsed it. Some guy in Harrisburg said, yeah, you should put the warm roll. Yeah, they taste good in Harrisburg with a warm roll.
Yeah, go to Harrisburg. Good luck with that. But thank you again with Tyrone. Tyrone, we love listening to you too. You're really, really funny. You're really, like, the way you guys do your show, it's sports, it's comedy, it's news, it's entertaining, and I just want to say thank you again.
Well, thank you. Thanks for checking in. We appreciate it.
And keep Tyrone.
You want to keep him? Well, Ty's going to be here. Yeah. Ty, unless you got something to tell us, you'll be here right tomorrow.
Hope so. Yeah, okay. God willing. Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
You also have a contract.
Yeah, like, I mean, what do you want to do? Like, okay. I need this job.
All right. That's good. So we'll be back tomorrow with the same crew. Right,
yeah,
let's go. Ed Pottstown. What's up, Ed?
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Ed.
First time, long time.
Thanks, buddy.
Did I hear you say one time that you don't even like sauce on your cheesesteak?
Sauce?
Sauce, like tomato sauce?
Yeah, well, you don't need sauce on a cheesesteak. What, like a pizza steak? Yeah, you're junking up a good, perfectly good cheesesteak.
I don't know. I get sauce and onions, and I like hot peppers on. There's some good cheesesteak places up here in Pottstown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sure there are. There's good cheesesteak places all over the place. Occasionally, I'll put some hot peppers on the cheesesteak.
Yeah. You know, well, my buddy, when they drafted Simmons, he was all for it, and I told him then, you know, the guy can't and don't shoot. Doesn't matter. He gives you 20 and 12. But that was in college. Yeah, there ain't no more 20 and 12, is there?
No. He had 14 last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're talking about that place up in Port Clinton, the Port Clinton Hotel. He was right. They make a real good cheesesteak up there. And for a day trip, right across the street is a candy shop. And when I say that, it's not your average little candy shop. This place is the size of a ground floor house. And there's barrels and barrels of cabinets of candy.
So you're saying that I should make a day trip to Port Clinton, grab myself a cheesesteak at the Port Clinton Hotel, and then go across the street to the candy barrels?
Yep. Chocolate-covered pretzels.
I might do that on a Saturday.
Chocolate-covered pretzels.
How far is Port Clinton from where we are here?
I'm in Pottstown. It's only about a little over an hour from Pottstown, right up 61.
All right, so it's a couple hours from here.
Less than that, probably. But
all right. Maybe. Hour 45. What do you think, Ty? Like a little Saturday trip?
What?
Yeah.
Port Clinton Hotel, have a cheesesteak, and no?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so Ty's not in. What can I do about that?
I would say no.
I don't have. Yeah, can't fit it.
Ty.
There's a real good golf course right out past
there. Is there? Well, I might as well make it a whole day then, up there in Pottstown. Listen, everybody has good cheesesteak places. It depends on what roll you're getting.
The roll is very important.
A good bakery, like, you know, there's some good bakeries in Jersey, some good bakeries around in the Philly area, in the suburbs. You know, Pottstown might have a nice bakery, make a nice cheesesteak roll. Makes that cheesesteak good.
It might be. The thing is, I can't make a trip of that much time.
Oh, for a good cheesesteak, I would do.
For a place off a word of one person and a candy shop.
Well, I'm just looking at it here. Let's
and see. A candy shop.
The candy shop, don't sell that short.
It might
have. They got barrels of fresh candy.
What I'm saying is, if I want to go to Reese's Factory.
Oh, this looks good.
And get all the cups and the eggs and the trees and stuff in the world. Who can top that?
Nothing.
No, I get it. But I'm looking at the Port Clinton Hotel. It's like an old school type of, a Western joint. Like, you know, the saloon. Like the saloon in Unforgiven.
It's kind of fun. Could be a nice little overnight trip.
Sure, yeah, they got a nice cheesesteak at the...
Overnight trip, maybe.
Port Clinton Hotel.
Yeah.
Day trip for just one piece of food and some candy.
I mean, I would do that in a heartbeat.
See, we live different lives.
Just test it out.
We live different lives.
Go all over the place to test out delicacies.
Delicacies.
Like a nice cheesesteak. This might be like a gem.
I hope it is, but that's probably... I'm going to have to receive money because it sounds like you're asking me to be Guy Fieri for free. And I'm out on that.
How about the guy? There was a guy that was a Guy Fieri imitator.
Yeah.
Well, either that or he just likes him so much he dresses like him.
I think he's like an imitator.
He's an imitator?
Yeah.
He came from Cali, he said. And that guy came from Cali.
Well, I respect him. He looked great at Fieri.
Maybe he just admires Guy that much.
Well.
That was this past weekend?
Yeah, you didn't see the guy?
No, I didn't see
him. Oh, he's a dead ringer for
really?
Him.
Yes. Oh, I missed that.
To the point where when I posted the group picture I took from the stage after we did our intros, there were people on Instagram saying, wow, you guys got Guy Fieri to come out. That's
no
cool.
Way.
Oh, yeah, he was a dead ringer for him.
Oh, I'll have to check out the
He looked a lot like him.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, let's go Shannon in Allentown. Shannon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Shannon?
Hey, I'm doing really well. The reason why I'm calling is there's a place close to where I live that's actually pretty close to Port Clinton that they bake the roll when you order the cheesesteak.
See?
Well, so it's a bakery slash cheesesteak joint?
Well, what they do is it's an Italian restaurant. The guy who owns the place is he's from Italy. He goes back and forth. He hasn't been because of the virus lately. But when you make a cheesesteak, it's going to take like 45 minutes. Well, when you order a cheesesteak, it takes like 45 minutes. They have these special things that they put in the oven. And
I got to be honest, that's too long. I'm going to sit there and wait 45 minutes for a cheesesteak because you got to bake the roll. That's why it's not feasible, Tyrone. I'm used to getting a quick cheesesteak.
You waited an hour for some mess down the shore the other day. An hour by yourself in the car.
That's right.
Because I didn't know it was going to be an hour. That's the only reason. So you, they didn't tell me. They told me when I got there.
So, excuse me, Shannon, can you call ahead to this place?
Oh, yeah, I do it all the time. I live like 25 minutes away, so I call 20 minutes before I'm ready to leave, takes a nice little drive through the country, I'm good to go.
All right, but it's, you know, that's not feasible for an everyday cheesesteak.
What?
Well, it's a special thing. I don't really eat meat like Tyrone that much.
Yeah.
When I do, it's a special thing.
Yeah, all right. So he bakes the whole thing. He bakes the roll. You ordered the cheesesteak.
Yes,
he bakes the roll and then takes that roll out of the oven and makes the cheesesteak and puts it in the roll he just baked.
Correct.
All right. I mean, listen, I can see where it would be like that would be a feature of the place. But I'm telling you, I get a cheesesteak. I like a quicker cheesesteak.
Understood.
All right.
The Port Clinton Hotel, by the way, is very close to where I live. I've been there a handful of times.
Yeah, it's a nice little joint.
Yeah, it's a nice little place, but it's very small town, very countrified, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I can tell. It looks like it's got like posts in the front of its place, like a country store.
Oh, there's another thing that's actually close there when you're making your day trip called Long Trout Winery. They're kind of like a hippie winery up there.
Oh, man, look at that. So you get the hippie winery. You got the cheesesteak joint in Port Clinton Hotel, and you got the candy barrels.
Oh, and the only other thing that you need to know about Port Clinton is it's a huge speed trap when you go through there. So you got to make sure you pay attention to slow down.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for the info, Shannon. There you go.
Yes, really country. Doesn't sound like a place that's safe for me. So y'all go ahead. Bring me something back.
We'll check it out.
Yeah, that's what I think he was hitting at. And a speed trap? So you just want me to make a one-way trip?
Stay home, Ted.
So go make a one-way trip. That seems excessive. Like, if you hate me, you can just say you hate
me.
Come on,
let's just go up there. We'll bust in the joint. Knock doing this, the sub doors.
Not unless I can get some of that Wayne's brother makeup. I ain't going up there as is.
Oh, man.
Hell no. Y'all describing a hellscape.
We'll just go in. You and me walk in. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a
walk in. You know, suspenders.
The dust kicks up behind you as you walk in.
Spurs.
Get your good old cowboy hat.
Tom and Bluebell. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hey, Mike. How are
What's
you?
What's up, Tom?
Aaron, how are you?
Welcome, how you doing?
Jen. Good luck with the new position.
Thanks.
Mike, I just wanted to get your heads up on Sirianni. Did you see today? He wore it. Beat Dallas t-shirt.
Did he?
Yeah.
He gave it to the whole team. He's big on the t-shirts. I like that. I think it's okay. A lot of people don't think it's a little schmaltzy, but I don't. He's having fun with it. I like it.
I think it's very juvenile.
I don't think he means it to be juvenile. I think he's just having a little fun.
So if they go 1-7 or 2-6 in the first eight, you think the players are still buying?
Well, that's the big test. But see, I haven't seen him be a rah-rah coach. He was a rah-rah press conference dude, and I think he's a serious coach. So I haven't seen too much of the rah-rah thing where people are going to roll their eyes. I think he's busy coaching the team with a young staff and trying to implement his style. So for right now, I'm okay with him.
He looked lost on the sidelines on Sunday.
Well, yeah, but the first game he didn't. He had a really good plan. So again, like he's gonna have to button down a little bit because you can't learn on the job in the NFL. But it's still only two games.
How'd they end up with him? How'd they get Sirianni? He wasn't on anybody's radar.
At the time, I thought it was a very dubious choice, but that doesn't mean he can't be a good coach. And to determine that, we need a lot more.
I hear you. The problem with Philly sports, Mike, is Middleton, Harris, and Lurie. That's the problem. It's so frustrating being a Philly fan.
Yeah. What about the Flyers?
I don't follow the Flyers.
Oh. All right. Well, you couldn't even tell me who the owner of the Flyers is. Not many people know who the owner of the Flyers is.
I think it's technically still a corporation.
Yeah, it is. But the front man, I guess, is the guy, Dave Scott.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not like the old days of Snyder.
Yeah, and that's why, and they own the building.
Yeah.
Which is why the Sixers are going to end up pulling the Clippers. Clippers announced their own stadium, and I'm sure that's going to happen sooner rather than later with the Sixers.
Yeah.
Where they're going to announce it. The question is just going to be, where is it going to be?
Where is it going to be? What do you think?
I still think.
Where it would be outside the city limits is the question.
I think it's one or two. I think it's going to be on the water. The question is it on water on this side of the water? Or is it on the other side of the water?
I'm thinking it's going to be on the other side of the water.
That's what I think Cam is going to make such a deal for him that it ends up there.
Hey, you know what? It's all right.
It's right there.
Just across the bridge.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, your phone calls, and we'll lead you up to sound off right here on the Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
He's going to find a Twitter poll number brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and his sons. If you're looking for new outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons of Doylestown is the place to go. Check it out at paulbmoyer.com. Jennifer Scorto. Final numbers, Jen.
Is Dallas Week as big a deal for you now as it was in the past? 35% say no, less enthusiasm. 65% say yes, still the same hate.
All righty. You guys still have the same hate. It's okay. I like the hate. I don't want to patronize the hate because I don't want to make them bigger than they are.
Yeah, I hear you.
Plays into them, you know. Like, I'm concerned about it. I'm not concerned about y'all.
You know, when I first moved here and became an Eagles fan, because I was not a fan of any professional football team before I came here, one of the first things that I was taught was to hate Dallas.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yep. Still do.
All right, Phil's tonight against the Pirates. Apparently the game is still on.
Yes, it's currently not raining at this minute. It's supposed to start again, but I do think it looks like there's a window, if they delay it some, where they can probably fit it in.
The Pirates are starting a journeyman bullpenner. Connor Overton against Aaron Nola.
Now, if Nola has...
They should win.
I mean, Nola, you're home. You just had a decent outing up in New York. You're going against a bullpen game. Is it fair to say, can he please just get us through six? Like, is that unfair?
No, he'll get you through six.
Well, he didn't last start when he was pretty good either.
Last start, didn't he?
I think it was 5.1, I thought.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong, but I thought it was 5.1.
I actually think they'll score a couple of runs early in this game. I don't know why. I just have the hunch. Yeah, but seeing him struggle against the Baltimore Orioles, that was a painful series to watch against a terrible team. But the Orioles have maybe 1.5 players.
Yeah,
can play center field. Can play.
Yeah.
They got a guy that has 30-plus bombs, but he couldn't hit a foul ball in this series. Mountcastle. And the catcher looks weary as hell, but he looks like a decent player.
Yes, it's going back up to 162 apparently has been tough for a lot of catchers around baseball.
Yeah.
After last year.
Except that Kansas City cap. Perez has 46 homers? He's played every game, too.
That's incredible.
Let's go to Tom in Hatfield. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing? I just have a question about Ben's contract.
Yes.
If he doesn't report on for training camp next week, or is it this week, he gets fined.
Yes.
How much of a fine does he get that would eat into that monthly million dollar
contract? No, it's not going to be like $200,000 a week.
So, I mean, if it went... say a month with him not showing up.
No, they can't. The training camp's not that long. Whenever camp ends, that's the end of the fines.
When a regular season starts and he's not there, what?
Nothing. Don't have to pay him. There's no fines.
Okay. One other thing. The worst cheesesteak you can eat is when they serve it on a soft roll.
Yeah.
There's nothing I hate worse than a soft roll. It's unbelievable. I think all these places and they serve this crap. I just can't stand it when they get a soft roll.
Exactly. You got to have a hearty roll. It has to hold up to the juiciness of the goo of the cheese.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I just one other question, Jen. Where is Jen from? I hear her say she was.
Jen hails originally from Georgia, but she has been up here for many, 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 many years.
Well, I enjoy her. She's doing a nice job.
She's doing a great job.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you very much. Pat, Northeast. Pat, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Pat?
I'm good. You know, first of all, I want to say I had a blast at FanFest.
Awesome,
and
Pat.
I don't know how you guys are going to be able to top this year's next year.
You know, we say that every year. It's funny. Because every year I walk away from it going, that was the best one ever. Now, I don't know if it really was, but it always feels like every year is better than the year before.
It was a terrific day. All the people, the fans, I mean, everyone had a great time. It looked, walking around,
yes,
everyone seemed to have a great
time. Yes, I thought that people had a good time. The weather cooperated, even though it was hot. But, yeah, it was. I think, like, the airiness of it, being able to walk here or walk there, is a really good thing.
Absolutely. And if you got hot, you walked in
right.
to get some air conditioner.
Exactly.
And you had bathrooms all over the place. It was mm-hmm. fantastic.
Yes. Glad you liked it, Pat.
You know, I'm playing hypothetical, man. What if Benz does show up for a practice, just to spite the organization, to get his 16 mil...
Hey, yeah, I mean, he would practice.
Right.
Yeah.
What does Doc do with that? I mean, he's got to coach him up.
Yeah, right? He'd coach him.
Right. So, despite us, like, what does Ben do?
I don't know. First of all, it's not going to happen. But if he shows up, I assume that he's going to reluctantly be there until they trade him. I don't know what his mindset would be. I don't really care, to be honest with you.
Right,
but they're going to trade him. That doesn't really matter if he shows up to me or not.
Okay. Well, I was just questioning.
Yeah, no, he comes. Obviously, he'll have to be a member of the team. He can't just sit out, put him through the paces and practice and all that.
Right, but Doc has to play him, right, until January.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be like nothing ever happened, but they're still going to trade him.
Right. Well, I would say, bye-bye, Ben. You know what I mean?
Yes, you know what I mean? Yes.
Right.
But he's
right.
not going to do that.
Right. And one last thing about the cheesesteak.
Uh-huh.
Now, my wife, like, you're absolutely right. I love a cheesesteak on a roll that's not baked.
Yeah.
But I love the hard roll, mm-hmm. right, on it. But when you take it home to heat it up, you heat it up in the oven, wrapped in aluminum foil, and drizzle it with a little olive oil, and then heat it up. The roll is hard, and it's baked. Like, how do you heat up your leftover cheesesteak? Because I'm sure you've had one, Mike.
No, I don't think I've ever had a leftover cheesesteak.
Oh.
I'll buy a cheesesteak, I'm going to eat it. I don't know what the leftover part of it is.
You know,
I order a cheesesteak, I'm eating the whole cheesesteak. I don't left it over.
Right, but what do you do when the wife...
I don't know. I don't know. What do you do? I mean, you put it in a microwave? Do you put it in the oven for a little bit at a low temperature? I don't know. I wouldn't reheat a cheesesteak. I buy a cheesesteak to consume.
Somebody asked, I'm not going to say who, how'd you heat up that Rite Aid steak? How'd you heat that one up?
That was different.
Well, how'd you heat it up?
That was microwave heated.
Oh, you used the microwave?
So my husband will take the meat out of the cheesesteak, out of the bread, and heat the meat up separately and have the cheesesteak roll come to temperature.
So the roll stays fresh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's actually a good idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, he respects food. Know why?
Because he's Italian.
Exactly.
Yeah, see.
Exactly. But see, my man's thinking ahead.
Right, but in your world, respect just means ridiculous rules.
No, it doesn't.
It means
enhancing the food to its optimum. That's what respecting
the
food
is.
You're not
revolutionized the cheesesteak.
You're not revolutionizing. You're making the roll softer.
No, I'm not making it softer. It's a hearty roll that happens to be warm.
It can't be a hearty roll until it cools.
I didn't say hot. I said warm. It's cooled down enough to be tough, but warm to the touch and to the taste buds. I just improved the cheesesteak, and I said, thank you.
You're waiting for, like, it's the optimum time. You're waiting for, like, the eclipse. Like,
yes.
It's got to be the perfect time for the eclipse, and now you have a cheesesteak.
Is that too much to ask?
It's not feasible.
It is feasible. That's the problem. See, too many people say you can't. I'm a person that says you can.
That's right.
Where we're different.
Open your damn warm roll cheesesteak joint. For crying out loud.
It's going to be very popular, Tyrone.
Watch how popular it is.
That's right.
Let's go to John in Norristown. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, John?
A c- couple things. I saw you talking about Ali Frazier.
Yes.
I had to call. I went to that fight.
Oh, my God.
Square Garden, 50 years
ago. The one in Madison Square, the first one.
The first one.
Oh, my God.
And Mike, it's still, to this day, the most exciting sporting event I've been to my whole life.
Yeah, I can imagine. There were all kinds of celebrities that in the Garden that night.
Oh, man.
Oh, and Frank Sinatra taking photos that night? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I paid an arm and a leg back then, but it was well worth every second.
That's a cool memory, man. That's got to be the greatest sporting event you've ever been to, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now,
there's something else I got to share with you real fast. I know.
Go ahead.
I don't want to. I know because I know I'm Italian also. So when I've heard you use the term.
Which one? Which term?
I'm trying to remember. Okay. Oh, Medigan.
Yeah, Medigan.
Yeah, and every time you use that word, I chuckle because what it literally means is three Italian words that we've blended. Murder, decane. And we as Italians have blended it to be murdercon, medicon.
Yeah.
And what it really means, murder, decane, is the slang word for poop of the dog.
I don't know what half the slang words that I learned growing up, man. They just were there, you know. I always thought it meant it just Americanized.
I thought it was kind of like Americanized.
Instead, it's much worse, much more insulting.
I don't think that's it. To be honest with you, uh-huh. I just think it's.
He didn't sound Americanized
like Maragon. That's right. All Italians when they came over. That's Maragon. You know, that's American.
Right. That's what I was always told.
No, he didn't sound sure of himself.
No, Vince in Newark. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vince.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
What's going on, Vince?
Hey, good time at FanFest last week. Good to see you.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, thank you. This is Vince, the man that I play golf with over in Wilmington. He's a good player.
You know why I'm calling? What? I haven't heard you. I haven't heard your picks on the Ryder Cup yet. Big Ryder Cup.
You know, listen, I don't believe in the American Ryder Cup way. Because these guys, they're not team-oriented dudes.
Correct.
And so Europe goes, we can conquer them because we, you know, we're the ole, ole, ole people.
Europe takes it as one giant party for a week.
Yeah, they do. And listen, I hope that the fact that they put these young kids in there, they're a little hungrier.
The U.S. team, the young guys, the rookies are really good. The course, I think, favors the Europeans, though. And the weather, it's going to be, tomorrow's warm, but it's going to be windy.
Yeah.
And it's
a links course, which they play on.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it favors the Europeans, but the young guys for the U.S., I think, pull them through this year. So
I hope you're right. I mean, this is ridiculous, all the losses they've. And they get hammered. Like 17.5, 10 hammered.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I also want to mention Ben, good old Ben. You know, obviously he never got his butt kicked when he was a little kid because he was always big. So he needs that. But I think they should pay him in pennies. If they have to pay his $16 million, just pay him in pennies.
Yeah, I don't think he could actually do that. There wouldn't be enough pennies, first of all. But yeah, they can't lower themselves to childlike, you know?
Well, they can. But
yeah,
they're not.
That's a bad look. You can't play his petty game. You just sit back and you go, ha, ha, ha. How's it going? You know? Yeah. You're in no hurry. You're not playing. All right. That's the way it worked out. You don't want to play. So we got to carry on and hopefully we make a deal soon. But keep your phone open because maybe January we'll give you a call. All right. Coming up, it's Sound Off after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off. Sound
off. Are you going to be facing me? What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
Keep going. Sound off.
Alrighty, time for sound off. 610-771-9705. You got something to say, hit us up. Leave a message. We compile them. Put together the package. Call sound off. Let's kick it.
So in the last 6 years, the Sixers have had two first picks in the draft. First, they took BS, Ben Simmons, a man who's full of BS. And then they took a real MF, a literal MF with Markelle Fultz. So we got a BS and an MF. Wow, it's a real shock they didn't work out.
That's just a very coincidental alphabetical connection.
I don't know. Like Michael Jordan, MJ.
Yeah.
Julius Irving, AI. Perhaps there is something to this.
I give up. I don't know. BS. That meaning the answer we shouldn't have taken him?
Perhaps not.
His initials are BS?
Yeah, perhaps not.
All right, well, that's a new level of intelligentsia.
You know, I'm sick and tired of everybody talking about how bad Ben Simmons is. Ben Simmons is a great player. Ben Simmons will be a great player. The Sixers should make him sit on the bench so he can stop letting these players dictate where they want to go and how they want to do it.
I don't know. How's that benefit the Sixers? All it does is bring you contention and angst and confusion. And
no, he's saying don't trade him at all.
Yeah, that's
bench
what I'm
him
saying.
Until he gets it together and bring him back, and he thinks because he's a great player that they're going to win with.
Yeah, so you bench him. He's saying bench him.
Right.
But benching him only puts more of a spotlight on the situation, and then guys get asked about it, and every night it becomes contention.
I don't know what Tyrone's talking about. Trying to dilute the cheesesteak with warmed-up rolls and all sorts of craziness. Like, this dude must be from, like, New Jersey or Delaware or something.
A lot of people that, you know, don't understand it. They're not putting it down. There just doesn't seem to be a level of need for the warm roll.
See, it's not about need. You don't need bacon with your Brussels sprouts. They do it anyway. It's not about need.
Oh, you need bacon with your Brussels sprouts.
No,
otherwise,
you
it just
don't.
Tastes like a Brussels sprout.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, you're enhancing the Brussels sprout.
You know what I mean? It's these loopholes.
Mike, you're absolutely right.
Am I a food
right
tyrant? Is that what I am?
Yes.
Yes! You are a food tyrant. All these rules.
Mike, you're absolutely right about the cheesesteak. That's the most ludicrous idea I ever heard. And Tyrone, you have no say because you don't eat meat in the first place. That in itself is a violation.
Well, no, it's not a violation that doesn't eat meat. I admire veggies. And what do you call yourself? What is it?
A pescatarian, because I eat fish.
Yeah, he eats fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that at all. In fact, I like straight people that can exist on a vegetarian diet. I respect them.
I respect those people.
Yep.
Like, you and Tyrone had me cracking up, talking about walking into this place. I'm like, it just reminded me of the scene from Stair Crazy. Y'all going to be in the jail like Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, man. Don't go there.
Seriously, we'll walk in. We got our suspenders. Get the thumbs under the suspenders. We walk in. We bust open the doors of the joint. One cheesesteak, please.
Yeah.
One warm roll. One regular roll.
One regular roll.
All right, close down.
It's the best of the best today of Sound Off.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What is it?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 545 to see if your sound off gets on.
Good. See you later.
All right. Stay tuned to Cuz's Corner is coming up. They don't miss Cuz's Corner. It's live from Parse Casino. And keep it right here because Devon Gibbons takes you through the rest of the evening on NBC Sports Philly. Stay tuned for Phillies broadcasting, warm-up, Phillies pregame live, the game, postgame. Looks like the game's going to go on tonight. And I like Darren Noel to come through. Phils with another dub tonight. Have a great rest of the night, everybody. Be safe. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.